Blog Talk Radio.
Even in the ring?
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, it's David Chang.
Is it me, man? Is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Even in the ring,
radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not going to pass you through at the moment, but there is a chat room. If you look on, there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up or ask your questions, and I will pass you in through as soon as we can.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Leave It in the Ring radio show. I believe I got our hosts, David 97 Ruff, Chris from Sacramento, and Justin Streichhardt on the line right now.
You do.
What's up? What's up?
Dude, I'm here, and I got so much to talk about. Let's do this. This should be a packed show.
What you got to talk about, man? Well, first off, before we even get in the show, let's make quick announcements. We got Paul the Punisher Williams with Mr. Peterson calling in and, around 6 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, we got Alex Ariza calling in from the Manny Pacquiao camp. But at 5:15, we got a special guest calling in to talk a little bit about something that just happened recently and kind of give his rundown about his opinion about what's happening to him and his fighter. So that should be pretty interesting. Hey, Dave, any boxing news before we go in? And what upcoming event should we be looking forward to this weekend?
Well, speaking of Paul Williams, a bit of good news. The December 5th HBO date seems like that event is finally coming together. For a while, it was going to be Joshua Claudy and Quintana, but that fell through. So it seems like now Paul the Punisher Williams will be fighting Sergio Martinez on the 5th of December. And also, Chris Arreola will be making his return to the ring against a yet-to-be-announced opponent, but both of them will be on that card.
That sounds pretty good, you know, for Chris to be going back in. I know 916 Chris out of Sacramento, you had the chance to interview him, and you posted it up on YouTube, and we threw it out on Twitter and Facebook. So, and it was a really, really good exclusive interview that you had with him. And you asked him, do you feel that he's prepared? I mean, is he ready? I mean, he went through the fire going against Klitschko. What do you think, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, Henry, Chris's trainer, he had a good point in that he said they didn't want to take too much time in between fights because Chris has a bad habit of letting his weight fluctuate to, you know, really high, and he said that was a big problem going into the Vitaly fight. He said Chris feels good physically. I suppose if he feels good in the gym already, you know, that there shouldn't be too much to worry about. I was just kind of worried about the beating he took and if he had enough time to recover, but they seem to sound like they think he's ready to go, so we're going to find out, you know, come December.
Man, that's crazy, crazy, you know. I don't know if you guys heard about the news about the WBC telling Sugar Shane Mosley, first off, telling Sugar Shane Mosley, Hall of Famer, the guy's on top of the world right now, and, you know, I don't know if it's solidified yet, but it's supposed to be him and Joshua Claudy getting in, you know, but they're asking him to make an apology, okay, to the WBC in order for him to face Andre Berto's bout because he vacated the WBC interim title in order to fight Antonio Margarito back in January for his WBA title. That to me is hilarious. I can't believe that the WBC is actually going to try to force a Hall of Fame fighter to get up and apologize for something that needed to be done in boxing. It was a fight that really needed to be said. It was a fight that people were anticipating, and the guy's victorious, and they're upset that he had dropped an interim, and that's the key word, interim championship. That's the most ridiculous thing. Interim. What is an interim champion, Dave?
Well, hold on. First of all, are we talking about the the same WBC that gave Marco Antonio $20,000 for him dying in the ring? Is it the same WBC that banned Chris Arreola for 6 months just because of a post-fight interview? I mean, same WBC. I mean, they're on a roll right now, it seems. And this interim title, they know it's just a trinket in their pocket to get more money out of fighters by sanctioning fees and things like that. That doesn't really mean anything. And was there a contract that Shane breached when he go ahead and vacated the title? Isn't that something you have a right to do as a fighter?
You know, you're right. The WBC seems to be making their own rules, their own avenues, and how to, contradict what is going to be happening in their organization. You know, I want to go with Strikeheart real quick, because I know Strikeheart makes videos that are called What's Bothering Strikeheart, so I know Strikeheart's got to have something boiling up in his system right now that he wants to talk about, because this is a big deal. I mean, we're allowing the WBC to do exactly whatever they want to do, and nobody's monitoring these guys. Nobody's supervising these guys. And if you're a fight fan and you want to come on real quick before we have our first guest to tune in, you can call in at 347-215-7598. Make sure you log on to Will Be Blood Fight Show and standandfight.com. Strikeheart, go ahead, man. Drop me what you got.
Well, as far as this whole WBC situation, it's obviously it's ridiculous. And I hope that the Shane Mosley that called out Floyd Mayweather will be the Shane Mosley that doesn't apologize. I don't want to see him do that to fight Andre Berto, of all people. I don't really think he needs that fight anyway. So if they want to play like that, then he should just say, forget it. But as far as what's bothering Strikeheart this week, and I'm pretty sure we have Alex Ariza on tonight. Maybe I could get him to comment on this a little bit. But the 24/7 for Pacquiao Cotto is pretty lame, if you ask me. So if I had to go with what's bothering Strikeheart this week, I have to say, I mean, the week 24/7 so far. and it's not anybody's fault, I guess, other than HBO. But I think the moment that clutched it for me was when they were like, all right, we're going to let you guys see some Cotto sparring. He never lets you see that. And then they show snapshots, black and white stills of him supposedly sparring. That was ridiculous and just kind of silly to me. And that'd be what's bothering me. I don't know if you guys are more entertained with the 24/7 or if you're almost falling asleep like I am. Anybody want to bite on that?
I want to bite on the WBC is what I want to bite on.
All right, go bring it back to that, because that whole situation's ridiculous.
To pick up where David Chen led off, this is the same WBC who was in full support of Antonio Margarita after he was busted for the hand wraps. I mean, come on, you want to talk about hypocrisy. Jose Suleiman, to quote Chad Johnson, child, please. I mean, you got to be kidding me. This is a joke. With the whole, Mosley's got to apologize for dumping an interim title to fight Margarito for the biggest money fight out there for him for the WBA title, that's like breaking up with a woman for another woman, and then the other one says, oh, I'll take you back, but you got to apologize first. I mean, come on, get over it. Don't be getting your feelings all hurt over nothing. And this thing with Chris Arreola, talking about you were cussing, so we're going to suspend you from our rankings. I mean, please, it's a fight. This isn't like some freaking high school debate. I mean, that's just the biggest piece of BS. I mean, I'm not going to cuss because we're on the radio. I ever heard, but, I mean, I just never really heard anything like this before. WBC, I don't care if it's a Mexican organization. They get no love from me and no respect, and I don't really give a damn about them.
Brutal, Chris.
Yeah,
man. I mean, that was actually – That was the sugar down of a blood saying something right now, man. That was the tame way of saying, F-U-W-B-C.
Yo, man, I'm trying not to offend anyone out there listening to this show, but on the real, I mean, I know from all the feedback I've been getting from fans the last few days that they all agree and they all are thinking the same thing. I'm just trying to voice opinion for myself, for the fans, about all this BS that's going on in boxing, especially with the WBC. I mean, they're just the easy target right now. They're just asking for it. They're like a piñata, and they're at a Mexican birthday party, and they're just passing the bat around so we can all take our shots.
Absolutely, man. And hey, Jim, let's go on with some calls from some fight fans, man, that want to probably talk about the WBC. Because, you know, obviously when you talk about something like this, that it you smell something corrupted, fight fans get pissed off and they want to talk about it really quick.
We got a caller from the area code 612. Caller, you on the air?
What's up? It's Carlito.
Carlitos, ¿qué pasó? ¿Qué onda?
Hey, you know what? I'm actually heading to a Mexican joint right now to meet some chiquitas.
Okay, well, if you see my cousin, tell her I'll be over later, you know, to make sure the tortillas are warm and everything else and make sure her friend's over.
Yes, sir. No, I think it's nonsense, man. This WBC, I mean, first of all, the whole cursing thing, it's boxing. They hit each other in the face and in the gut and in the liver. Like, how can you say that he's cussing? Plus, he's emotional. He was crying. You know what I mean? I mean, he cusses. It's okay for him to cuss in the pre-fight stuff, but it's not okay for him to cuss now. And then the Mosley, that's just disrespect to a legend in a game in this era for him to have to say sorry. I guess I've never heard that before. And like you said, it's not even a real belt. It's ridiculous, man.
It is ridiculous, you know, and that's how funny it's starting to become. I mean, I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know if they're trying to stir up some news or whatever the case is, but it's stupid, you know what I'm saying? I mean, for anybody to you're making a Hall of Fame guy, okay? This guy is a big part of boxing. And really, honestly, I've said it time and time before. This guy's a janitor at Golden Boy, and you're telling him to apologize to you because he dropped a BS interim champion belt? I mean, come on, man. It's probably about as bad as when you hear a court stone in the court about a guy that robs you and then falls through a glass or cuts himself at your house, and then he's suing you and he wins the case. It's stupid. You know, Dave Chen, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I've heard that before. You know, I mean, I'll give you a perfect example right now. Here in California, there's a case where a pit bull gets loose, attacks a lady, okay, and they shoot the dog down. Now the owner's suing the state of California, and he might get the money for it. You know, it's stupid. It's a dumb thing, you know. But anyways, Dave, anybody else calling in to chop it up a little bit about this whole WBCBS?
I got a caller from your private number. It seems like area code 111. Caller, you on the air?
Yo, 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 what it do, nephew?
What's cracking, brother? How you going, man? What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on? This is Felix, and I just want to say boxing fucking sucks now. MMA's taking over. Fuck Floyd Mayweather. Fuck Bernard Hopkins. Fuck all them maricones. Later.
Well,
wow.
You know what, man? Unfortunately,
fun.
The good thing about it is that Floyd Mayweather and Bernard Hopkins don't run boxing as much as what people think and stuff, you know? I mean, hey, it is what it is. Some fight fans are getting turned off. Yeah.
That's two very casual fan names to put out of their asses. You see what I mean? Like, oh, man, Floyd, he ain't shit. I'm like, that's what the boxing fans say as well. We say that.
Exactly. You know what I mean? That's the funny part. That's the funny part. When you hear people go, well, you know, boxing is dead because, you know, of so-and-so and so and Don Keen and Floyd Mayweather. Well, you're only talking about really a speck of boxing. It's just like the universe. You know what I'm saying? There's so many stars and so many planets out there in the universe that when you just pick on the Big Dipper, you're barely picking on a speck of what's out there, you know? And saying boxing is dead, hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion, you know, but I don't know. Hey, if you like MMA, and I've said this time and time again, if that's your cup of tea, that's all good for you. But I don't drink tea. I drink beer. And my beer has boxing in it.
Yeah, and going after Bernard Hopkins doesn't score you any points with me. So I'm glad that guy hung up so I didn't have to put him in his place about Bernard Hopkins.
You know, it was my man Felix called in and voiced out his opinion, and that's what it's all about, man. Call in and say, you know, F this, F that, A. You've been tired of it. You think MMA is great? Cool. Do your thing. You know what I'm saying? But Bernard Hopkins, first off, you know, you know what's funny? On Friday, tomorrow night, we got R.A. Rugged Man coming through to chop it up a little bit with us because there's a lot of questions, really, honestly. There's a lot. The community of boxing is divided at this moment about this cat, okay? You know, R.A. is a hip-hop artist, underground hip-hop artist, and a lot of people really didn't know about him. because he's more a dude that kind of sells underneath, but he's got a good name. He's got a pretty good following and stuff. I knew him already before he did the whole Floyd Mayweather interview, but like I said, those fight fans are completely divided about what's going on with him, because some fight fans say that he don't know shit about boxing. Some fight fans are saying that he set up Floyd Mayweather. Some fight fans saying he's contradicting themselves when I brought up the name Bernard Hopkins. And I've seen this in videos and forums and et cetera, about the whole Bernard Hopkins situation. And we're going to give Ray a chance to, challenge what he had said on his interview with Floyd Mayweather and really find out whether or not, hey, was this set up? Did you set this man up, Floyd Mayweather? And if he did, I don't see what the big problem is.
Yo, let me get in here just for a sec. You said there's a division between the fans. I got to disagree. You make it sound like it's 50-50. There's a division, all right, between real boxing fans and Floyd Mayweather fans. Big difference, man. Real fans.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, come on. You got some big hardcore fight fans, too, that are not feeling what exactly, R.A. Rugged Man said. I mean, they got some valid points. I've seen some pretty valid points. The only problem is this. The valid points that some of these cats are throwing out there right now on the waves is that they didn't bring the surfboard to back up what they're saying. I'm going to let R.A. see if he can back it up, because some of the things that R.A. said, I got to kind of tend to lean kind of towards what he was saying and kind of defend what he was saying, but I'm going to let the man get up on there and see what he's got to say and see if he can really back it up on what he was doing and what he was saying. That's how you really determine whether or not he's a real hardcore fight fan, because when he brought up the name Bernard Hopkins,
if you're trying to find out if he's a hardcore boxing fan or not, go look up his music, because he's been rapping about boxing for over a decade in his songs.
Exactly.
He's writing a book right now about boxing. And on top of that, I mean, making fun of him is funny to me, the insults that people say online. The guy says worse about himself than anybody said about him. That guy makes fun of himself more than anybody I've ever heard. I mean, he really lays into himself. So that's funny on top of everything else. You better not even make fun of that guy, because he can do it better than you can.
Exactly, man. And like I said, I've known about R.A. Rugged Man before, and when he had the chance and he had his time to take out, take on Floyd Money Mayweather, I thought it was funny. I thought it was great. I mean, Floyd was stumbling a little bit, and he was kind of stumbling the way some of his fans stumble when they talk about him. They say the same repetitive thing. I'm 6 world champion. I'm the greatest. I dictate boxing. All R.A. did was use exactly – and this is the funny thing about it. If you've ever listened to Floyd Mayweather interviews, Floyd likes to throw out questions to the question he's been asked. You know what I'm saying? He likes to challenge the interviewer. And R.A. was there. He was on the moment. He was on. He did what he wanted to do, and he did honestly what a lot of people wanted to see him pick. Brian Kennedy did the same thing. I gotta admit, somebody made a comment saying, "Yo, Brian Kennedy did the same thing though on the ESPN." The only difference was that Brian Kennedy had to keep it, conservative, because it's on ESPN. But given the chance, I'm pretty sure Brian Kennedy would have probably popped off on a little bit of FUs and hear that and bullshit. But yeah, I mean, when you're calling in on a hip hop station, don't act like you don't even know what's up. I mean, some people are like, yeah, but you don't got to call the man MF and all this other stuff. I mean, but, that's how it's done. This is a hip-hop station. It's on Sirius Satellite Radio. Howard Stern is on Sirius Satellite Radio. You got to know for a fact that you're going in there, got to be a little prepared that something's not going to be scripted for your part. You know what I'm saying? Carlitos, what do you think about it, man?
Yeah, I think it was kind of funny to hear him kind of searching for words, especially the guy that, has the great mouth was like, like you said, he switched it on him. You're right. He actually was asking him questions. I guess the only part I had a little problem with was not letting them talk around the Shane Mosley time. When he brought up Shane Mosley, he didn't really let him talk there. But I thought overall he did a great interview. And like you said, he had his time to shine against him. And that's besides Kenny, that was about as good as you can get at Floyd. And if we just keep getting at him like this, there'll be nowhere to turn except for fight the winner, Pacquiao Cotto, Shane, Claudie, somebody that we, you know, see as a legit opponent.
I'm telling you, man, I mean, anybody really honestly, you're hating R.A. or Rugged Man, you know, Mr. Rugged Man himself, about what he did with Sugar Shane, I mean, Sugar Shane, with Floyd Mayweather, man. I mean, come on, you got to give him a little bit of credit. I understand if you're a huge Floyd Money Mayweather fan, yeah, of course it's going to upset you, but that's how you could really, and Strike Card, and Chris, this is how you could really determine whether if you're a hardcore boxing fan. If you weren't able to laugh at that interview and understand the contents of what was behind that interview, then you ain't a hardcore fight fan. You're a Floyd Mayweather fan. Just like you got Manny Pacquiao fans that can't laugh at certain situations or cannot take up, they can't man up when subjects come in face with them because they're too sensitive about it. You know what I'm saying? And if you're too sensitive, I advise anybody that listens to anybody that challenges their fighter, get yourself a box of tissues and some Vaseline. Make sure you get Vaseline because, you know, some of you cats be acting like you got raped. It was Floyd Mayweather that got raped over the airwaves. Anyways, man, Dave Chen, any other fight news out there, any fights that are going to be happening Friday or Saturday and possibly Sunday? I know last night Teddy Atlas and Brian Kenny were on ESPN, too, you know, for the Gato Holloway fight and Jason, the All-American Litzo, were fighting, and he was victorious in his bout. But let's find out if there's any upcoming fights, and we'll get right back to about Litzo. And hopefully, Henry Ramirez. Ooh, I almost gave it up right now. What special guest was coming on, man?
What? I didn't hear you say nothing.
Go ahead, man. Give us some news.
Well, we all know that David Haye will most likely actually get in the ring this time around on Saturday against Nikolai Valuev. Hopefully he'll actually make it out instead of, you know, doing that childish stuff he's been talking about. You know, if they force me to come out to the ring too early, then I'm going to stage a, you know, sit-in and stuff like that, so on and so forth. But, you know, he's still talking trash up to this point because at the last press conference for the fight, he said, man, Nikolai Valuev's head has gotten bigger since the last time I saw him.
What's your prediction on that, man? Who you got on that fight?
You know, I think David Haye's got this one. You know, he's a young guy. He's got athleticism, and that's really all he needs against Valuev. And Valuev doesn't even hit hard for a big guy, so David Haye can just go ahead and play with the big man and win a comfortable decision or try to beat him up a little bit and look good in the process. But I think David Haye will take this one.
You know, the only thing is with David Haye is, I mean, you know, Valuev first off is a big man, and if he plays it right, and he uses exactly what he has to his advantages, which is his height, his weight, he could take the fight. And what I mean by that is if he gets in there and he, you know, pushes him around a little bit, makes him tired, then he will slow down the faster, smaller, strong David Haye. But it's up to the loose camp to have trained him in that type of fight where he's going to have to be the cat chasing the mouse. But, you know, before anything else, hey, Dave, I know our guest is calling in right now, area code 951. Why don't you patch him in real quick so we can get our interview with our man that's a special guest, surprising guest.
Our guest from the area code 951, you're on the air right now, brother.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We got Henry Ramirez, the head trainer of Christian Lambert Oriella. What's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
What's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good. Well, you know, we were talking a little bit about the whole situation with WBC and what's going on with these guys giving your fighter a six-month suspension for cussing at the post-fight interview. You know, it was national. They got upset, and they started, you know, I guess they want to perform some discipline on your fighter. Before you answer that, though, you know, and if the fight fans, if you didn't have a chance to watch the fight, or you tuned off because you were upset that Chris had lost, we're going to replay what Chris said and what they're suspending them for. Dave Chen, why don't you replay it real quick so the fight fans can hear exactly what Chris said at that post-fight.
A brave effort. Why did it fall short?
I don't know, man. I just want to say I'm sorry to everybody, man. I really wanted to be a champion today, man. And I worked my ass off. Fuck. Vitaly's a strong motherfucker. He hits hard. And I never wanted to quit, man. That's never in me. I didn't want to quit. I wanted to go the full 12 rounds. I know it's fucking me up, but hey, I'm sorry, guys.
Why, you had a plan to get on the inside and to use your superior speed, hand speed on the inside. What did he do to neutralize that?
Why did he beat me? He used just a smarter fight in there. And whatever I did, he found a way to counteract that. And he just found a way to win, and I'll find a way to lose.
I think you gained a lot of fans in losing here. For giving a great effort. Thank you very much, Chris.
This ain't the last you've seen of me. Fuck that, I'm coming back.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you, Larry.
Jim?
Henry, what's your thoughts about that? You know, you guys, your fighter, Chris Amanda Oriola, obviously was emotional that night, okay?
Yeah, that was hard to listen to, my man.
You know, it was hard to listen to it live. You know, when you're rooting for the guy. I was there. I was rooting for my man to win. I wanted him to win. A lot of fight fans, hardcore fight fans, man, were right behind you all the way. You know, they were with you guys in this journey. And seeing that he lost and how emotional he was, and he just left it out there. I mean, he was just the way he does in the ring. He just leaves it all out there for the fight fans to see it raw and uncut. Now, when you guys got the info about WBC saying, Jose Suleiman saying, I'm suspending Chris Amanda Oriola for the cussing that he did, what was your first thought, your reaction?
You know, what's funny is Chris actually woke me up. He called me probably about 7 in the morning. I guess he had got some kind of Google alert over his phone, and his first words were like, hey, dude, I got fucking suspended. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, I got fucking suspended by the WBC. And I said, for what? And he started to explain it to me. You know what I told him? Fuck them. Don't worry about it. They're not they're a sanctioning body. You know, they're not a state athletic commission. He goes, so then he was kind of a little confused. Oh, so am I still fighting December 5th? I said, absolutely. You just can't fight in any WBC-sanctioned event. So, you know, screw it. We're moving on December 5th, fighting on HBO with or without their consent. You know, it's pretty sad when the WBC is trying to uphold the moral ethics of the sport. Let me tell you, I think they've got some of their own issues. They need to look within their own organization themselves.
Let me ask you this, man, because our co-host, Strikeheart, and Strikeheart, I know you can vouch what I'm talking about, was on the press conference call with you and Chris. And he right. asked if the promoters or anybody had a problem and the way Chris would, you know, do interviews, you know, how he would just throw it out there. I mean, he's pretty much a homeboy. He would just throw it the way the real people talk, you know, the way people really want to respond to certain situations. And the promoter and everybody else chuckled at it and said, nah, we like Chris the way he does interviews.
Yeah. You know, like I said, it's one thing is, you know, all the cursing he was directing, he would just use it as a, you know, like to really put the emphasis on how disappointed he was. You know, like you said, you got raw emotions. The man had just lost. He was obviously upset with everything that was riding on that fight. And like I said, it's not like he was directing it at any person or, you know, making derogatory remarks to Vitaly himself. It was just Chris being Chris, you know, and the WBC took offense to it and, you know, let them keep us out of the ratings if they choose.
As fans, we all expect Chris to talk like that, but I did. I think I asked you guys in reference to his post-fight interview with Travis Walker at the time, because I had noted that Bob Papa, I believe, apologized on his behalf after the post-fight interview in that fight, and that was what threw up the red flag for me. Which have you guys been talked to about this before, or is this the first time?
No, never. No one's ever approached us about trying to make Chris rated G and during his interviews. And he's going to say what he says. And to be honest, I'll be honest, there's not a person walking the face of this earth that Chris is going to listen to him and tell him he better not cuss on HBO. He ain't going to listen. He'll just take the attitude, well, then don't interview me then.
Right. I mean, it's not even that he's that way in the post-fight interview. That's It's just the way he talks whenever he's talking.
That's just, yeah, that's just the way he talks, you know, every day life, you know.
And you know what's funny is I saw Chris after the fight, okay, at the hotel, and I went up to him, man, to tell him, hey, yo, you know, keep your head up high, it was a valid try, you know, true warrior, and we're proud of you. And I went to go shake his hand, right, and he goes, oh man, I'm going to shake your hand, but I just got done scratching my balls. You know, that just shows you how Chris is. You know what I'm saying? He's just, he's well uncut. And I think that's why as hardcore fight fans, we love him for it, you know? Let me ask you this, Henry, real quick, man, because isn't it the responsibility, though, of the promoter to call you or anybody that's really doing the follow-up in your guys' career, your man's career, because by not even notice, I mean, somebody had to know. I mean, WBC had to call somebody first to say, yo, this is what's going to happen. Or is it really when they just woke up one day and said, I'm gonna suspend Chris Namor Oriella and I'm going to try to force Sugar Shane Mosley to apologize for dismissing the interim WBC championship?
But yet here they want to make up this special award where they have Mike Tyson's fist casted, right, and I guess presented for some type of award. But yet, with everything, all the baggage that comes with Mike Tyson, his past, and yet they're going to use an award in his name for everything he's done, you know. But yet, you want to vilify my man for 6 months and keep him out of your ratings for some explicit language on HBO. Mind you, a network that does, you know, shows about hookers and whatever else you want to talk about on some of the other programming
right.
There on the network.
You're right. They got Cat House. They got the taxi driver. They got hookers in Hawaii, hookers in Louisiana or something like that. I watched them. I got them on my TiVo. You know what I'm saying? But you're absolutely right. I mean, they're going to want to slap you guys. And this is the thing that really gets me is that Margarito gets 1 year suspension for having – a substance, which they were not even really sure what was in their hand. The assumption is plaster with Paris, but they give him a year, and they're anticipating his comeback.
Yeah, they're actually in full support, you know. And I don't want to say anything against Margarito because I know his management, and you know, hopefully, you know, he can come back and kind of erase that cloud over him. But you know, I mean, yeah, you know, you got a guy who is, you know, found cheating and. You know, yet my guy cusses, and they're suspending us for 6 months, you know, and I guess they want to make an example out of him. Like you said, they want Mosley to apologize. So all of a sudden, the WBC is policing the morals of boxing.
And that's the funny thing about it. You know, I know you guys right now, they're saying you got a December 5th fight on the undercard of Paul Williams. Before we get into that, let's go with Chris 916 out of Sacramento. I know he's got some questions for you, Henry. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Henry? I actually talked to you the other day. You gave me that chance to interview. And, you know, ever since then, man, all the feedback I've been getting has all been positive. Everyone's, you know, agreeing with the years and Chris's stance. And everyone's just kind of saying the WBC is just full of shit, basically. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, what do you guys – I think this kind of worked out in the better for you. I mean, I don't really think the suspension hurts, and it seems like your guys' name's really ringing out there now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's really going to hurt us. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we'll be excluded from the WBC ratings. I think after Chris had lost to Vitaly, he had dropped to number 4. So obviously now he'll be out of them completely. But, I mean, you know, like I said, he's gonna take a fight December 5th, you know, and then possibly again in February, and then we'll look to see where we go from there, you know. But, I mean, like you said, yeah, his name's out there, and it seems like more people are coming to his defense. As far as this goes, and they're not really talking about his weight or this and that. They're just talking about how kind of unfair it is to you know, try to penalize a man for, you know, showing his true emotions, you know, obviously after a disappointing loss.
All right. I do want to touch up on one thing we talked about just because there's a couple things a lot of fans have been asking me since we did that interview. First off, fans just want to know, you know, a lot of people are questioning, and even though you told me about it, just kind of reiterate why you think it's a – you know, Chris is good to go after such a brutal fight, you know, ready to go so soon?
Because, man, it's just the kind of guy Chris is, you know. He's the kind of guy, he's not going to sit and mope around, you know. Physically, he's fine. He's more than ready to get back in the ring, you know. I mean, there's some people that will question it, but, you know, you know, we're the people who make the decision in Chris's career, and I would think we're better qualified to make a sound decision.
Absolutely. All right. And another thing I just want you to clarify for people, because I understand the situation. I think all of us on here do, but I think some fans are confused. They think that this suspension means that Chris can't fight for 6 months. Now,
no, no.
Can you just clarify that to fans?
Yeah. You know, the WBC suspension is far different than a state commission. You know, a state commission suspension is recognized by most all states, or at least should be anyways. A WBC suspension is not only WBC-sanctioned events. That includes NABF belt, you know, WBC Continental, you know, whatever else they got. But or you can't fight in an eliminator or something like that. It's just a WBC-sanctioned event we won't be participating in for the next 6 months.
Right.
And who knows? They may choose to drag it on even further, you know, despite, you know, I think if they feel like we've disrespected, you know, the decision they made, they may try to drag it on even longer, you know, with us kind of, you know, basically we're going to fight a month from now. And, you know, they put their suspension up this week. You know, if they feel like we're completely disrespecting, maybe they'll keep it longer. Who knows? To be honest,
have they told you what exactly it is they would like you to do in the future to avoid being suspended by them again?
you know what's funny? No one has contacted myself, whether it be Chris. To my knowledge, I don't think anyone's contacted Dan Gustin or Al Heyman. This just came about, like, us reading about a story on the Internet. The only thing is it was directly affecting Chris regarding Chris, you know. But no one had reached out to us behind the scenes or said, hey, you know, the WBC would like you to clean it up, or no warning, you know, if you may. But, no, it was just, like I said, Chris got a Google alert over his phone, and he called me directly, and I was barely waking up.
Let me get one quick question in there before I pass it on to my homie Strike Hearts. It sounds like he's chomping at the bit. You know, I know it's down the line. You guys got to fight tentatively scheduled and stuff. But if David Haye is able to pull off the win this weekend, you guys see yourselves going after that man next year? Because I think that's a fight a lot of fans would love to see.
You know, it probably would be. You know, I think David Haye is obviously a possibility. You know, you have a guy who's pretty charismatic, exciting, you know, runs his mouth. You know, we'll see what happens on Saturday. You know, I know he's the winner, should he win, is obligated to fight John Ruiz. So I don't think David Haye would win the WBA belt and then kind of disregard their order of fighting John Ruiz next. But then again, it's David Haye, so who knows, man? Who knows if he wins what he's going to do?
Hey, Henry, let me ask you this. You know, right now what's happening – is Chris a little bit bitter about the WBC at this moment? I mean, does he feel like, you know what, I'm not going to do any interviews right now. I'm cool. I'm not going to put myself out there and get myself in more trouble.
You know what, he's decided not to do any interviews since the fight. He's just working hard, and he just tells me if any interviews come up, you know, just tell him that he's not ready. You know, like I said, he's back to being himself. He's preparing for his next fight, but I think, he might want to cool down before he does an interview, because I know he was pretty pissed off, you know, about them suspending him.
Let me ask you this, then. You know, ever since that loss, what has it done for Chris? I mean, because, you know, a lot of times when you got a guy that's, you know, and the big criticism was you guys were taking this fight a little too soon, and being that he got a lot, what happened, the outcome, some people are questioning the mental state. Is it there, or could it have crumbled them so much? Or do you see this is a different Chris? This is a real hunger Chris. We needed this to get the Chris that you've been looking for to get out in the ring.
You know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the answer everybody wants to hear is no, he's fine, he's going to come back, and that's what I truly believe. But to be honest, none of us really, really know that until we see him in the ring. You know, like look at Fernando Vargas, for instance. You know, everybody assumed, okay, he's going to come back, bounce back from the Trinidad loss, but obviously that wasn't the case. You know, nobody really knew that until he got back in the ring. You know, you could say this and he could show this in the gym, but no one really knows till he gets out and performs. You know, obviously knowing Chris probably better than anybody else, I definitely feel he's going to bounce back. Like I said, he's training hard. And you know what? The knock on him is it's not that Chris doesn't train hard. It's just what he does in between fights is what, you know, kind of puts him behind the eight ball. You know, like with after the Jamil McClain fight, he came to camp at 294 pounds. You know, I mean, that's no there's nobody who can control that, man. We tried. We urged him to get back in the gym, and he just wasn't having it. And then, you know, when the Vitaly fight came up kind of quickly, we had, you know, 8.5 weeks. And, you know, to be honest, we got him down to 51. It was, what, 43 pounds, 8.5 weeks. It's a lot of weight to lose, you know. So hopefully the lesson learned can be is just maintaining a better fitness in between fights.
You know, I guess the big question would be right now, what is his weight at this moment?
He's at 264. He's at 264, which, you know, people are going to be like, damn, that's heavy. But trust me, based on past history and, you know, a month after the fight, you know, he can get down 20 pounds in the month that we have left to fight. But because, you know, my ideal weight for him to fight at is 240, you know.
Right. Right, absolutely. I mean, I agree. I think 240 would be great. Do you guys know who you're fighting December 5th on the undercard of Paul Williams versus Sergio Martinez?
You know, to be honest, as of right now, as of right before I called you, I was on the phone with the people at Goosen, and to be honest, it's going to either be Derek Rossi or Brian Minto. I'm hoping to have a definite answer by tomorrow, but it's going to be either one of those two.
Which guy do you want?
Either one, it doesn't matter. There's really no preference. I mean, Minto's a smaller guy, a guy who will come forward and probably meet Chris and stand in the ring and trade with him. And I think Rossi's a guy who will try to box a little bit more, you know. But I either one is fine. You know, they're both quality fighters.
Hey, Dave Chin, I know we got some fight fans that are calling in that want to ask quick questions. Why don't we go ahead and patch them in and see what question they have for Henry Ramirez about the whole WBC, or if they got some questions about his upcoming fight December 5th on the undercard of Paul the Punisher Williams, Sergio Martinez.
Yes, sir. I have a caller from the area code 281. Caller from 281, you're on the air.
He's probably got his phone on mute. Caller from 281, go ahead, brother.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on, my man? Yeah, I'm right here.
Ashy Knuckles, man.
Ashy Knuckles, go ahead, brother. Ask your question.
All right. You don't think the loss to Klitschko has taken away any of the confidence in Areola, right? Because he took that loss kind of hard, even though he gave a gutty performance. Do you think his confidence is shaken any? Do you think he thinks maybe he doesn't have it in him to be world champion after that?
Well you know, here's the thing. You know, when the December 5th fight presented itself about 2 weeks ago, you know, I was given the call. I said, you know what, I want to see where Chris's mental state is. And he said, his exact answer was like, fuck no, I'm ready to fight. I want to fight December 5th. You know, the best way to get over a loss is to start preparing for your next fight, you know. So now we're not so much focused on, damn, we lost to Klitschko. Now it's, okay, who are we getting ready for, Minto or Derek Rossi? You know, now we're arranging sparring partners coming. So now we're getting out of the loss and looking forward to our next fight.
Dave Chin, we got any other callers right now that are calling in and want to ask Henry Ramirez a question?
We got a caller from the area code 760. Caller from 760, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question. My question is, you think Ariel will be in better shape this time than the Vitaly Klitschko fight?
You know what? We're certainly hoping so. You know, we were left, you know, like I said, with a little less time than we had to get ready for this fight. You know, our goal is to get for this fight down to 245. You know, we're hoping to get there, and I really believe we'll get there. But, you know, believe it or not, man, he was in pretty good shape for the Klitschko fight, man. You know, he worked hard. He was fully committed to a morning and after a morning and evening workout program. And to be honest, mm-hmm. with the time we had to work with and in the shape he came, you know, we got 43 pounds down in 8 weeks, and we're hoping to bring him in better shape, you know, but to do it a little bit more properly with the time we have left.
Henry, you know, knowing, and I know you know this, Raza, our people, you know, our gente are pretty brutal when it comes to their fighters. You know, when your fighter loses, you know, especially a Mexicano, a Mexican fighter, and Chris being a Mexican American, you know, fight fans will dump all over you. You know what I mean? They'll even say it in your face. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the heckler of Oscar De La Hoya heckling at him, saying, you know, Marquez did better with Floyd Mayweather than De La Hoya did with Manny Pacquiao. Has there been any of that type of response from the Mexican hardcore fight fans? Have they have they turned on you guys, or they embraced it? What happened?
You know, like I said, Chris and I are very good friends, so I've got to see a lot of the response that he's had when we're out, you know, in public. And to be honest, I mean, I'm sure there are some haters out there and, you know, some negativity, but I mean, as far as the response that he's gotten that I've witnessed, it's been all positive. You know, keep your head up, you know, we're going to keep going, you know, we're still behind you, we still got your back, you know, very positive, you know. So I haven't experienced it. Now, not to say that that it's not out there, but we haven't, and he hasn't experienced it, at least to his face, you know.
Strikeheart, you got any more questions for Henry Ramirez, brother, before we let him go?
Just a couple, yeah. When do you guys feel like you'll be ready to challenge for a title again, or do you already feel like you are?
This is the thing. You know, you've used the Vitaly Klitschko fight as a learning experience. You know, you fight for the world title. That alone is an honor. You know, we weren't happy just to be there, but, you know, when you look back, you're going to think, wow, you know, we got to fight for the heavyweight title. Now, we'll use that as a learning experience. You know, obviously, Chris will probably have maybe a fight or two, and then we'll see where we go from there. You know, and maybe there's a chance, you know, like David was saying earlier, maybe if David Haye beats Valuev, there's a chance we can fight David Haye. The good thing is, you know, even a Vladimir Klitschko down the line, the good thing is Chris now with the big fan base isn't going to need to be a mandatory challenger for one of the champions to fight him, you know, being that he's got a fan base and an entertaining style and with the backing of HBO, he's always going to be an attractive possibility for any of the title holders, you know, without having to be a mandatory.
One last question for you. Last time I had spoke with Chris, I asked him if he was willing to go fight overseas, and he said, he joked and said he didn't even have a passport or anything. Would you guys be willing to fight David Haye over in the UK or any of these other European guys in their own country? Or are
you
going to hold it down here?
Boxing is a global sport, and to fight for a world title, sometimes that would require going overseas and fighting, you know, in somewhere in unfamiliar territory. So I think if the possibility presented itself, absolutely, you know, we'd be open to it, without a doubt.
All right.
What about David Tua? How about David Tua? I know fight fans. Right now we got in the chat room, boxing historian is saying, how about David Tua? Is that a fight that you guys would be interested in? And I know it was talked about for a minute, but would you guys call out David Tua if you're successful on December 5th?
You know what? Absolutely. We would be open to fighting David Tua. I know Chris wanted to fight him before. You know, there was talk that Chris was going to fight him after the Chaz Witherspoon fight. And things, you know, kind of fell apart. But, you know, I know Chris definitely would be interested in fighting David Tua, you know, especially him coming off a win over Shane Cameron. You know, I think I'd be getting a little too much credit for it. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's good. You know, David Tua in the mix is good for the heavyweight division. You know, he's an exciting fighter and, you know, can hopefully create some excitement in the division, you know. But, yeah, absolutely we'd be open to it.
We got Henry Ramirez, the head trainer of Christian Lammer Oriel, on Leaving the Ring. Henry, I appreciate you coming through for me, brother. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you on the radio show with us to chop it up and talk about it, especially about this situation, because it's funny how the WBC is trying to be the parents of all the soups, the alphabet soups at this moment, have morals, like you just mentioned a little while ago. They're trying to be the good Samaritan right now. They're trying to clean up their act. I wouldn't be surprised to see them in that rehab program, you know,
yeah.
You know, trying to clean up their act a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
WBC right now is like a parent telling their kid not to do drugs, but yet they got a crack pipe in their mouth as they're telling them. You know?
Exactly, man. You know, it's funny because I remember, you know, being Mexican American, being a Chicano, I remember my old man. He'd be all drunk. He'd be all pedo, and he'd be like, mijo, mira, don't be drinking because drinking is bad for you, eh? You know? WBC, hilarious. Hey, Henry, thanks, man. I should be up in L.A. in a few weeks, brother. I know I keep telling you we're going to hook up. I was trying to hook up with you that night after the fight, you know, but I got caught up with a bunch of other stuff. Definitely got to hook up with you, bro, so we can have a brewski, kick back, and hang out, man.
Absolutely, man. You come down to Southern California. You know, for this fight, we're training at home in Riverside. So, you come up to Southern California, give me a call. We'll definitely hook up and, you know, show you a good time. I'll show you a good time out here.
All right, brother, you know, and we got, like I said, WBC trying to be the parents and trying to discipline the fighters and how they should talk emotionally after an interview. If you're just tuning in, we got Henry Ramirez talking about the WBC being the honest, the Leave It to Beaver parents. They're trying to be the Leave It to Beaver parents to us right this moment. It's funny shit. So we're going to play a tune real quick dedicating to the WBC. Because they're asking Chris and I, and Oriola to grow up. Henry, thank you, brother. Until the next time.
All right, guys. Take care.
You too.
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up. Not me.
The kid
I'll
me.
Never grow up, never grow up, never grow up. Not me.
Just a kid
I'll
me.
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up. Not me.
August 15th, 1974. How could my mother give birth and suffer so raw? Reminiscing about my past days before the gas blaze pouring, looking for my hood in the stairway. Now I'm all grown up, sort of blowed up. Going city to city, tearing them shows up. But every now and then I catch past flashes. Put on my glasses and start squeezing girls' ass. I don't care, still pick a booger here and there. I'm trying to put that shit deep in someone else's head. I used to be the one back of the class, throwing sports like darts just to make you laugh. Class clown, turn around, I'm more comedian. Now CDs and TVs, what you see me in. Started stealing at the right age of just 4. At 24 and I'm still stealing on tour. Can you believe it? I even steal what's not needed. Petro, klepto, they put it very essential. Ain't nothing changed, still roll with the same crew. Let me put you on two stuff I still do. I still do stereo, still watch cartoons. I still play videos, still wear food of balloon. Still tell lies even when I don't have to. Still the same boy that's real quick to slap you. Still play daddy cool, still pissing pools. Still visit mom, still break the same rules. It's the kid in me, walk around with no care. Put itching powder in my sister's underwear.
Never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
But true, and my family knows. I used to light firecrackers in my cousin's nose. Would he sleep like matches in between his toes? Steal his clothes, take his hoes, come drunk to a stage show. Still derelict, my mama named me Crump Snatcher. Quick to let off gas and walk right past ya. Stick up the room and be like, who me? Dog, it wasn't me. Said it was Polly T. Nowadays, my best friend says I'm even worse. That's because they caught me hitting skins in a stolen hearse. Got locked up. And it wasn't nothing sweet, cause when the COs made me mad, I used to piss up in they seat. Back on the streets and getting treated like the star. Type to hit the light, take the condom off, go raw. Ladies, best watch your step, cause when you thinking I'm talking to you, I'm really talking to your friend. I guess I'm a little immature. The kid in me remains to be the end of tour. Maybe one day it will all make sense. Until then, I keep wiping hot shit on my neighbor's face. I'll
never grow up. Never grow up.
It's just a kid in me.
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
It's just a kid in me.
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
It's just a kid in me.
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
It's just a kid in me. Word up. This one's dedicated to all my teachers and principals. That's right. Thought I'd forget. Well, check it out. I made it. Told ya. That's right. And Mr. Bolsky, remember that snake you found in your desk? Yeah. Guess what?
I was meek.
Right.
Mr. Sally, my old principal. Yeah, I didn't forget you either.
Nobody
was trying to break that fight up. Ninth grade, someone punched through the back of the head. That's right. That was me too. Bottom.
That's what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right there, man. You know,
yeah, that's right.
Trying to lay down the law. Trying to lay down the law on fighters. Like, dictators. What is going on? Organizations, but really, honestly, they're the ones that need to have somebody, you know, monitor them. They need somebody to really kind of hover over the things that they do. But right now, I believe we got Mr. Peterson and Paul the Punisher Williams on the line. Are you guys on, brother?
Well, of course, I was going to give you another telephone number where we both can. I'm on my cell phone here now, but we both could be on this landline phone. But we just have to switch phones back and forth. But I can give you a number. You can call me back, and we both will be on the same line.
Okay.
Can you do that?
I don't know if I can get three people at the same time. Let me see.
The three people be?
Well, it would be me, you, and Paul Williams.
Yeah, well, that's what was suggested. Okay, let's go with the cell phone.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Can we get Paul on real quick? Let me do a quick interview with
absolutely.
Him, and I'll get you right on. Right on,
absolutely.
Peter.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
What's up, Paul? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine.
So you got your fight coming up with Sergio Martinez. The Pavlik fight obviously was the fight that you wanted, and you couldn't get it. I mean, this is a fight that's been coming up over and over. He's playing, you know, Pop Goes the Weasel with you. What's your thoughts about Paul Williams at this moment? I mean, how are you feeling right now at the moment about, you know, Pavlik?
Yeah, but to me, you know, sir, I really don't care now about the Pavlik fight. You know, I got to get focused on Martinez. You know, it's disappointing, but, you know, I guess that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Last time I spoke to you, you know, Paul, we were talking about that, and I mentioned, I said, hey, you know, there's a possibility you may not get that fight again. You know, it was gearing that way for some reason, and you were already prepared and mentally, I believe, when I was speaking to you, that fight wasn't going to happen because you said, well, the fight December 5th is going to happen either way. I'll get an opponent. Did you know heart to heart, did you feel that fight was really honestly just a teaser to get you ready, get you prepared for another fight that was going to happen December 5th?
I mean, with the Pavlik fight, you know what I'm saying? You're right, it did sound too good to be true. You know, he wasn't ready to give his belts up. That's all that was. So, you know, he found another way, you know what I'm saying, to get out of it. So then, you know, there was talking about waiting in the gym and all that. And we was like, you know, we to the point now. You know, we're not waiting no more. We're not going to just keep waiting around. We didn't need to fight. So we had to go on with that by our date. We were like, something to pop up then. You know, something did. So I'm glad that we got a fight that I can show my fans and all that. You know what I'm saying? Improve my skills.
Right, right. You know, when I spoke to you, you said, I'm hoping this fight happens because it's an early Christmas gift. Have you stopped believing in Santa Claus, man?
Oh, no. You know, sometimes Santa Claus won't give you what you want, but he give you something. So at least we got something going on.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, because, you know, Pavlik is obviously one style of fighting. In reality, man, do you think this was kind of a little bit of a setup, you know, to kind of get you off guard a little bit? Because Sergio Martinez is a completely different fighter to be facing the Pavlik. Pavlik is more of the mummy style, moving in, 1-2, only got a jab, has got a straight right and a left hook. Well, Martinez is a little awkward. Are there any concerns in your guys' camp or in your part, you know, where you got to now turn it up an extra notch because you got a month before December 5th to be prepared for this awkward fighter, Sergio Martinez?
No, it was a little frustrating, you know what I'm saying, trying to find guys, you know what I'm saying, with the style and all that, which you can't really find nobody with the style. But, you know, I think, you know what I'm saying, okay, we just got to man up. This is what shows you what kind of champion you've been playing for being in camp for months and months at a time. Preparing for one thing, you know, now we got to tear it all down. Like, it's basically like starting camp all over again. so we can prepare for another thing. So, you know, it's a little frustrating and stuff, but, you know, I'm just proving to the champion that I'm now, you know what I'm saying, my skill level, you know what I'm saying, how to deal with stuff, you know what I'm saying, when you got to deal with something. So everything's going pretty good, you know what I'm saying. We satisfied, you know. We're just going to have to, you know what I'm saying, do what we do best.
Paul, you know, Sergio Martinez is no walk in the park, okay? This is a cat that can obviously have a major chance of defeating you. You know, the hardcore fight fans, I don't think, would have objected or been upset if you would have took on, like, another Andy Cole. Why did you take such a difficult matchup for December 5th?
I mean, for one, you know, it just going to prove my skills and stuff. You know, you got a lot of guys be ducking, dodging guys. Okay, they'll say they want to fight somebody and they don't want to fight. And they want to get the easiest fights out there and stuff. That's if you look at all my fights after the mark, really, none of my fights has been easy like that. Every time it'd be like a challenge to me, you know. So we after the occasion on our challenges and stuff, you know, they give all the other guys, you know, saying easy little tune-up Ken fights and all that, you know, those fights that they could blow out. My thing is, no, I don't want that. I want the best out there. If you say you're the best, you gotta beat the best. So my thing is whoever it is, you know what I'm saying, and they're the best out there, and they're worthy of getting in the ring. But, hey, let's get it on. You know what I'm saying? Let the skills prove in the ring who the best is. No, don't be ducking and dodging and then calling out people you know you're not going to fight or looking to fight somebody that you know you could beat. Make it a challenge so the fans get their money worth and people get their money worth and everybody can prove. And you can prove to yourself.
When hardcore fight fans say you're pound for pound, is this the reason why you think, or this is the reason why you're pound for pound at this moment, or you're the Henry Armstrong at this moment because you're taking on the biggest challenges out there? And the challenges, a lot of the time when you do challenge somebody, they don't even want to fight you.
Well, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You know, you can see it, everybody see it. Okay, that's why everybody giving my props now. Okay, this guy, he is not taking no easy fights and nothing. He's talking about them the best guys out there, and he fighting whoever he got to fight. He go to different weight classes to get big fights and stuff. You know, and everybody realize, okay, now this guy really deserves a pound for pound to be number one pound for pound. He not ducking, you know what I'm saying, nobody. He not picking fights that you know he can win. He picking fights that's even up. Let's just go either way. And then he come out there and he perform so good, you know, he blow him out.
Let me ask you this. I got two quick questions for you, and I'm going to pass it on to the rest of the guys on the panel, you know, my co-hosts. I got one question right now for you that's been lingering in my head because this is a name that, you know, I've been thinking about. Jermaine Taylor got knocked out by Arthur Abraham. Jermaine Taylor, in my opinion, and most other hardcore fight fans are thinking, yo, Jermaine should not be in this tournament any longer. If you're successful against Sergio Martinez, could you move up to 168? And would you want to be part of that 168 tourney with the rest of the other guys that are in this tournament at this moment? Or has it been discussed to you, or has it been mentioned to you to take this possible tournament championship?
In my mind, it doesn't matter to me. You know what I'm saying? If Mr. Peterson, Al, and Dan, they feel like I need to be in there, then, hey, I'm there. But otherwise, you know, if I just go with the flow, you know.
Bernard Hopkins right now has got a fight coming up. You know, he's going to be fighting I can't even remember the guy's name. That's how meaningless the fight's going to be for him because there's a possible chance he's going to get in with Roy Jones. But, you know, Bernard Hopkins got in with Kelly Pavlik at 170. Could you make 170, and is that a name you would like to put under your ledger, Bernard Hopkins, B-Hop?
I wouldn't want to go into 170 and stuff, but if B-Hot wanted to, well, B-Hot was talking about he'll fight and all that, but we know that died out real quick. You know, I mean, he could have stepped up for December the 5th, and that would have been good for me, but I wouldn't went up to 170, but they could have made it for 170, but I wouldn't went up to 170. You know, I'd have stayed at the comfortable weight that I was comfortable with. It wouldn't matter to me. To me, the weight don't mean no matters to me, because I got in there with heavyweights and, you know, standing low with them and stuff, sparring. So, to me, it's no big deal for me. That is what I think.
Edison Miranda just had a successful night a couple of weeks back at the Tosche Palace in Lemoore, California. I asked him about your name. He said he had no interest, and he said the reason why he has no interest is because you never brought up his name, but if you did bring up his name, he'd love to come back down to face you. Is that a name, Edison Miranda, the Panthera? Would you want to fight that cat if there's nobody else left out there? Because obviously at 160, it doesn't look like there's going to be any competition. If you defeat Sergio Martinez, what is left out there for you to clean up? There's only down or up, and up would obviously look like the better choice for you because the money's up on 160 at the moment.
I mean, like I say, I have to go with my manager, my trainer, and Mr. Peterson, so I have to go how they feel about everything. But me, you know, I'm game for anything. I'm looking to fight, and you made one mistake when you said if. If was the fifth, we'd be drunk out there. So, you know, there ain't going to be no if. It's when I'm going to get it and beat.
But, Paul, I mean, yeah, I understand your management, your team's got to how they feel, but how do you feel?
I'm the fighter. I feel like what my teammates, whatever decision they make, I'm all good for it. It don't matter. If they say we go down to 68, we go up, down, I'm all in. I just want to fight. That's how I eat. I fight when I eat. You know, so that's how I eat. So my biggest thing is I'm not getting younger. I'm getting older. So I want to get all what I could get. So if they say, okay, let's go up and fight this guy, then, hey, my word is yes. Let's go up and fight him. It's all on them. They make the decision. I'm the fighter. They make the decision for me. And I go with it.
We got Paul the Punisher Williams on Leave It in the Ring. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the possibilities of moving to 168 or back down. You know, he's got a fight coming up December 5th with Sergio Martinez. Strike hard. Go ahead and ask your questions, brother, to Paul the Punisher Williams.
Sure. Paul, first of all, I'd like to get a little bit of clarification on Kelly Pavlik before I move on to some other stuff. Do you feel like... his injury was the reason why he didn't fight you, or his supposed injury, or do you think that was just an excuse for him to avoid you?
That is an excuse. I mean, because when we was at the press conference and stuff, the first time we were to fight October the 3rd, that fell out by his hand. Then the doctor cleared him 100%. So that made me think, did he really go to the doctor? You know, did the doctor give you 100% clearance and stuff, so you're able to do all this and stuff, and then you come back and say your hand's messed up. You know, you can't ball your fist up. Then the doctor was, what kind of doctor did he go to? You know?
Uh-huh. So with that said, is Kelly Pavlik holding up progress in the middleweight division? He's sitting on two titles, but he's not really fighting anybody of consequence in the division.
Oh,
is he holding up progress?
Yes, he's definitely holding up a lot of guys. He holds up the organizations. He holds up for making any money. They make money when you fight for the belts. They're not making no money with him holding the belts in his closet. They're not making that. So he's
Yeah.
a whole lot of guys, you know what I'm saying, to move on, you know what I'm saying, to get them titles or to fight for them titles. He keep putting on excuses and excuses and excuses to go say, oh, he got a doctor excuse, or he got a doctor excuse. And after a while, I was like, okay, well, you have a doctor excuse for 10 years, okay, well, what are you going to do about the belts?
Right, and we've seen now Arthur Abraham move up to 168. You try and step in at 160, and now you're forced to move back down to 154. I had asked, or I had kind of joked around with Mr. Peterson last week when we had him on, that if you were able to get a hold of one of these titles at middleweight, you might even be able to take a run at Bernard Hopkins' title reign of like a decade. You're young enough to do that. Is there ever going to be a weight class that you feel like you're going to settle into, or are you going to do the Henry Armstrong dance throughout the rest of your career?
I think that's the way they're going to force me to do the Henry Armstrong out of my career. You know, it goes to show that guys, you know what I'm saying, now they don't want to fight like back in the days. Guys get in there, okay, you the best, okay, I'm going to prove my skills, get your skills, who the best is. Now they want an easy fight for a whole lot of money and stuff. They don't want to fight guys that, it's going to be a head-up fight. You know, me, you know, so I'm like, okay, my thing is, okay, we're in a fight game. This is a fighting business. Okay, so if you say you're the best and all that, and you got the skills and all that, you got the ability, and you prove yourself to everybody, okay, let's prove it to me. Let's get in there and let's prove it to each other. So I don't think, you know, so I'm going to be able to be in one weight class and dominate the weight class. I thought I was going to be able to dominate 47 like that, but as soon as I got the belt, I couldn't really find nobody to fight. And then, you know, it got crazy and stuff. And after that, you know, we had to move up in weight. You know, then two other guys fight for my title. That who could have fought me? You know, so I'm like, it's crazy. So it was like they forced to push me out of the weight class. And now, you know what I'm saying, with 54, you really can't get the good fights that you want to get. And now 60, you know what I'm saying, we thought it would be a big fight with Pavel and stuff. You know what I'm saying, he's doing the same thing. You can't get a fight with him. So it's like, to me, I don't know what weight class I'm going to end up in.
Right, and I mean, you're ranked number 3 by Ring Magazine in middleweight. You're ranked number 1 at junior middleweight, and you've been forced out of the welterweight division. You're unranked. But pound for pound, they don't even have you in the top 10, yet there's guys up on that list that have consistently avoided you for the past few years. Does that frustrate you that you're not even on the top 10 pound-for-pound list?
You know, in a way, I know why I'm on that list, because if I was on that list as number 1, number 3, number 2 up in there, I'd be looking to fight the top guys out there, like Pacquiao, Cotto, Mayweather, and they don't want that because they know, you know what I'm saying, if I'm on that list like that, they're like, okay, this guy is on that list right there. Why y'all won't fight this guy? You know, so they, you know what I'm saying, the best thing they could do is keep it real, keep me real hush, keep it real quiet, keep on, sweep it under the rug so nobody can really notice it, like the real public won't know. But the boxing world, the people that really know boxing, they know what it is.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how can you get a guy that's dominating weight classes and stuff, you know, that's real high there, and you don't have him, like, number 3 or number 4 on the pound-for-pound list, but you got guys that ain't me fighting, and the guys that he don't beat, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question that you should be on that list. Unfortunately for you, you haven't been given the opportunity to prove that you could be a number 1, but the fact that you wouldn't be on that list is kind of ridiculous. I have one last
question.
Wait, Paul.
You know, some fight fans, though, feel that you shouldn't be on that list because of the Quintana fight. And some fight fans are still questioning because Quintana supposedly was sick at that fight. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, I've seen a lot of forums, a lot of people, even in the chat room right now, where people are still questioning the whole Quintana fight. And there is a 154 fighter at this moment by the name of Daniel Santos out of Puerto Rico. What do you think about that guy?
Well, Daniel's a good fighter, but you know what I'm saying, none of them guys stood up to the plate. We even asked Quintana for everybody talking about Quintana, just 1-1 with Junior Quintana, why you won't fight Quintana? Okay, we gave him the opportunity this time. You know what I'm saying, they turned it down. So that lets you know right now he don't want no more of that.
Right. I mean, I think we already got the answer to that when you took your title right back from him. I mean, it was only a few months, and then you had it right back. So I think that question got answered pretty quick. But I have one last question for you. It seems like maybe that Mr. Peterson is the reason for this, but how are you able to stay positive with all the stuff that goes on, and it seems like you just can't get the fight that you deserve? Is it Mr. Peterson, or are you able to find something within yourself to keep yourself positive and keep going?
I mean, it's Mr. Peterson, and it's you know what I'm saying, it's that, you know what I'm saying, we just find ways to just keep going, like, okay, they're not giving you props that you want, you're not getting the fights that you want, so you can make the money that you deserve and stuff, so you just got to keep taking one day at a time, and like, just like when we was wanting to get that first title when we fought Margarito, it took us so long, we were like, you know, it's gonna happen, it's gonna come to the light, and then that shine real hard, you can't keep it in the dark forever, it's eventually gonna come to the light. So
I agree with that.
Keep focusing on stuff and keep God first and stuff, and then it's gonna break through. Something's gonna break through. That's why we're taking these big fights and the big challenges that I take and stuff with guys that, you know, saying, that could beat you and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And people gonna really get to realize, okay, this guy, he is the truth. You know, and they could try to sugarcoat it. You know what I'm saying? Try to put his talent down. He ain't fighting nobody. He ain't this and that. But the truth speaks for itself.
Absolutely. With that said, I'll pass it to Chris. Pleasure to speak with you, Paul.
Thank you, sir.
Yo, what's up, Paul? I just got a couple quick questions, man. I seen somewhere online where it said, you know, when you fight Sergio, that you might get stripped of your title. Is there any truth to that, or is that just a rumor?
I have no idea, you know. I have no idea about that, you know. If to me, it probably wouldn't really matter, because even though I got the title and stuff, I can't get a fight for him, so it really wouldn't matter.
So to you, is it more important in your career at this point to just make the big fights? I mean, I know a lot of times big fights come with titles, but unfortunately that doesn't seem to be the case with you. Are you more interested in just making the big fights or getting the best names out there, or you kind of want to just collect as many belts as you can right now in as many divisions?
My main thing, I just want to fight. You know what I'm saying? Even though if you got the big belts and all that, and you can't get nobody to fight you, you know what I'm saying, for them stuff. I mean, you're just sitting on the shelf. You just holding the titles, and nobody won't fight you. So you basically, you know what I'm saying, they ain't going to pay you just to hold the belts. They pay you to fight. So my thing is, I can't get somebody, you know what I'm saying, worthy to fight. They got the big names, or somebody that's got the big belts to fight.
Right. man, there's one thing I'm astonished by. Every time I see you fight, your work rate. I mean, you never seem to get tired. You throw so many punches, and it seems like round 12, you're as fresh as when a fight started. Where does that come from? I mean, where do you get this insane cardio and work output that you just never seem to slow down?
That's because the guys, they push me to that limit and stuff, you know. They push me to the limit that, you know, I can't get a fight, so I'm going to take it out on whoever I fight, you know. And I just keep getting pumped up and pumped up and pumped up. You know, there's no room for being tiredness because, you know what I'm saying, if you look bad or something and you don't perform, then guys like, oh, you know what I'm saying, the hype go down, so I keep the hype up.
Right. I've completely slipped my mind. Hold on real quick. So let me think. Man, I was going to ask you a question.
I have that effect.
Oh, no. I know. If you could have any three opponents, you know, that are out there right now, a wish list of three guys you want to face, who would they be?
There would be Mayweather, Cotto, Pacquiao.
I'd like to see all those. I mean, I don't know. Truth be told, I mean, I don't know. I think Cotto's the only one that's likely happening because I don't think Pacquiao is going to take that jump unless you want to drop down to 142 or something. He might take you in there.
How about Arthur Abraham, Paul? How about Arthur Abraham? I mean, that's more realistic.
I hear a lot of talk about Arthur Abraham and this and that. To be honest, I blow him out of the water. You know, to me, they say, okay, he got this. He got good body shots and all this and that. To me, you know, so I had Jermaine winning that fight. He just got caught at the end, you know, because Arthur Abraham wasn't doing nothing. But the last couple of seconds, you know, so he started coming with a comment and all that. The first half of the round, Jermaine would be punching him in the face and stuff, just be using the jab on him and stuff, you know. So to me, I had Jermaine winning the fight. You know, he just got caught at the end. Yes, Abraham got a lot of power. He got tremendous power and stuff, but that don't mean that if you're sitting on it, you can't get it off.
You had Jermaine winning against Arthur Abraham, or are you talking about the Fox fight? Because when Jermaine faced Arthur Abraham, I saw Jermaine literally just getting pushed around and schooled in that fight.
All Abraham do is wait till Jermaine got off and stuff, and all Abraham run in, you know, so try to throw a little combinations every night. That's all I was seeing. I've seen Jermaine, to me, you know, we might be looking at something different, but I just seen Jermaine jabbing, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't throwing enough of right hands to me. He just kept jabbing him, you know what I'm saying? And then I wait for a while, and then about a minute left in the fight, he'd jump in and start throwing connections and stuff. That's all I've seen. But with me, I blow him out the water. You know what I'm saying? That's not me trying to disrespect the man. That's not me trying to, you know what I'm saying, say I'm better than him or anything. That is my confidence level. That's what I see, you know. Of course, he got power and all that and stuff. I mean, but to me, what I see, to me doing to him, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to give him time to get his power off.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that might
that's a
be
fight
the
though I like to see.
In that fight, is
that's
that, is
fight
that
I, like,
where,
I like to see too.
Where Jermaine got tired, I don't think we could expect that you would get tired. And Abraham's defense is pretty much there at all times. He kind of, like you said, he waits. Now, I didn't have Jermaine winning the fight because I saw his jab being ineffective throughout most of the fight. I think he took some of the early rounds, but by the fifth or sixth round, I think he was.
I mean,
Jermaine's
jab wasn't that effective. His jab wasn't that effective. But, you know, if you're punching a man, you know what I'm saying, he just blocking, you scoring points. So that's what I was doing. They probably weren't scoring the jab as a hard jab like he used to have a hard jab. But he was getting through, you know what I'm saying, touching him and stuff, even though it wasn't that hard. But that's all I was seeing, him touching him with the jab and stuff. And then Abraham jump in, like a minute left in the fight, and throwing combinations, like bone rushing him and stuff.
So do you have him up in that tournament, like up at the top tier of it, like most people do? Who do you have winning that?
Yeah, I mean, in that tournament, you know what I'm saying, he's a big threat because you can see the punching power that he have even in the 12th round and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, of course, he's a big threat in that fight, you know, so you can't sleep on them guys. I mean, the best at the punching power, you know what I'm saying, and he's undefeated, you know, and he got the skills to do. But I'm just saying, if I was, you know what I'm saying, to me, in my mind, and the way that I feel and stuff, the way I fight, I wouldn't have no problem with him and stuff.
So let me ask you this then, Paul, because right now you just said you'd blow Arthur Abraham out of the water. So do you feel you belong in that tournament? I mean, you got the confidence to get into this tournament, and it sounds to me you belong in the tournament. You would make a big difference to get in that tournament. So why not make it happen?
But my thing is, you know what I'm saying, we got some other fights we're trying to get. We're trying to get bigger fights and stuff, even though that's a tournament, big fight and stuff. But, I mean, I look in the fight, you know what I'm saying. If Miss Peterson and they tell me, okay, man, we're going to go get in that tournament or whatever, then I'm all in. You know, but my thing is, it don't make me, we don't have to do something. He could pull out of that tournament, we could get a big fight, and he could pull out of that and get a bigger fight. You know, I'd be game to fight him, you know what I'm saying. There's no problem with me.
Absolutely, brother. Dave Chen, you got any questions?
Yes, sir. Now, Paul, about Sergio Martinez, as a fighter, what do you think are his biggest strengths, you know, the things that you're going to have to work on and be mindful of when you face him?
To tell you the truth, you know what I'm saying, I just see him being a fast fighter, you know what I'm saying, and got power, you know what I'm saying, plus he come off the wrong side like me, off the wrong side, so, you know, to me, my game plan is going to dictate to me when we get in the ring. You know, if you could train for one thing, you know what I'm saying, but when you get in the ring, everything changes when you actually see the guy and you actually, you know what I'm saying, when the fight starts going on. So we really ain't really got no game plan for him. We're just working on, you know what I'm saying, the speed. And, we're working on, okay, how we going to deal with him and stuff. If this happens, so... I really don't have no game plan. I'm just working on, you know what I'm saying, everything in the job, for anything to go on in there. So I'm working on all kind of stuff. You know, you really can't train for guys like that and stuff. So, especially when you ain't got the time, you know what I'm saying, that you've been training for one thing. So you got to break everything down. So my thing is, you know, I'm just going to get in there and we're going to fight, you know. Either he's going to get me or I'm going to get him.
When you fought against Winky Wright, you weren't a full 160-pound middleweight, and it seems like right now your weight is still in the upper 150s. So is it safe to assume that you're not going to be having any trouble making it back down to 154 if that's where the fight is going to be at?
I know. We won't have no trouble making it 154. It's just that we was building up the 160, you know what I'm saying, putting on, building ourselves up to 160. And then when this tablet thing fell out again, you know what I'm saying, we were like, you know what I'm saying, we've been building up so much, you know what I'm saying, and trying to build everything up to 160. It's not right for me to go all the way down, you know, drop back down to 54 and stuff. So we're like, if they're going to fight, you know what I'm saying, they're going to fight us at a weight that we've been building up to and stuff. And they agreed to it, you know. So I think if they'll say we had to fight 54 and stuff, or if it came down to we had to go back down to 54, we'd have do what we had to do, you know, but it's no problem to me, you know. I really know after this fight, we're probably going back down to 54. I know we're going back down to 54, and perhaps we're definitely going back to 47, because I think, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to have to do something. They got to give me a shot. They're going to have to give me a shot. I'm just going to stand in their way.
So I guess in some ways, you still haven't grown fully into a full-size middleweight 160-pounder.
No, because it's like every day we're working because, you know, we think, you know what I'm saying, we might get it, you know what I'm saying, Cotto, Pacquiao, or Mayweather. They may give us a shot if everybody keep ragging them and stuff. I mean, they had like an interview on radio with Mayweather and stuff, and then one of the guys was really ragging him real hard and stuff, that he's not fighting nobody and stuff. He's talking about he's fighting guys. He's talking about we're too big for him and stuff, but he's fighting guys that he's bigger than. So he kind of contradicted himself on that. So, you know, a lot of people starting to listen and stuff.
One last question. I'm from Baltimore myself, and I know a few times you've been the special guest at Jake the Snake's promotions, you know, when he puts on events down here in Baltimore. Are you going to be appearing there anytime soon?
I don't know. It depends on if they got a fight or the having the fights and stuff. You know, so we go to about all of the fights around and stuff, you know. And we know Jake. You know, he's a pretty good dude. So, I mean, they have us out there and stuff. I like to see, you know, so I like to see other fights going. I like to see other people fighting and stuff, you know. Since I be fighting so much, I like to see other fights and stuff. So it's not too full. We ain't just doing nothing tonight, so we'll venture out into a couple of fights and stuff.
Thank you very much for answering my questions, Paul. Good luck on the 5th.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Dave, we have any fight fans that want to call in real quick and maybe ask a question to Paul the Punisher Williams, brother, before we let him go and start talking to Mr. Peterson, his manager?
I believe we still have Josh Ashley Knuckles, area code 281. You're on the line.
Ashley, you still there, brother? Okay, let's move on with the next caller, brother.
Area code 619. Caller, you on the air. Go ahead.
I think everybody right now has got their phone on mute or something. So. Hey, Paul, man, I appreciate you coming through, brother, and chopping it up with us and clarifying some things that are happening. You know, I'm telling you right now, you know, I'm a firm believer you can make 168. I told you last time I'm a huge fan of yours, you know. I've been following your career from the beginning. I love what you're doing. I like the fact that you're always going up and down. But it does weigh a little concern for me, being a fan of yours, that how much it's going to affect you in the long run if you're moving up, you know. Before I let you go, though, you know, I know one of my co-hosts who was running a little late by the name of Blood. I know he had some questions for you about your upcoming fight with Sergio Martinez or even with Pavlik. So, Blood, are you on the line, brother?
Yeah, I'm here right on the line.
Blood, you got any questions for Paul the Punisher Williams?
Oh, man, is he on right now?
He's on right now, Dougie Dog.
I'm on, sir. How you doing, sir?
Oh, what's going on? This is the Punisher right here. I'm I the last person here? Because y'all probably already asked them. Y'all probably asked them everything. I don't want to repeat nothing. But I just want to say, man, you know, hey, keep punishing them, brother. You know, you're the best fighter out there. You're the best fighter out there right now, pound for pound. If I had to say a pound for pound right now, it's Paul the Punisher Williams is the man. So, you know, I just want to say it's an honor to speak to you, brother.
And man, I respect that. See, there you go. He put me on the pound for pound list right there. So there you go. You know, the fans and stuff, they know the real. You can see the real from the fake.
Why these guys don't want to fight you, man? They scared of that punishment, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they don't want to fight. But my thing is, this is a fake business. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can get it. I look at you got a 50-50 chance when you get in the ring. It'll take one punch to change the whole night around. So anybody could win. You know, so you want to, even though they say you're going to beat this guy, you know what I'm saying, don't worry about this guy, this guy's nothing. If he throw the right punch at the right time, you can lose. So my thing is, okay, let's challenge yourself. Go out there, you know what I'm saying, and let's fight. You know, and that's my thing. Either you're going to get me, or I'm going to get you, but I'm going to get mine in. And that's the way I feel, you know.
Did anybody ask you if you had planned on, staying at middleweight, if you plan on, or are you going to, are you going to move up or down, or are you going to stay at middleweight?
The bottom line.
Or does that already been asked? That probably already been asked, I'm sure.
For the bottom line, I'm just like a seesaw, man. Wherever I can get a fight at, I'm going up and down. Wherever I can get a fight at, you know. So, to me, I don't know what weight I'm going to be in. They tell me, hey, man, try to come in at 110. We got a big fight here. I may actually have to come down to 110.
Would you be willing to fight at the 168 tournament?
Yeah, I was willing to fight them. My manager, Mr. Peterson, Al, and Dan, and they feel like, you know, saying, okay, man, we can't get no other fights and stuff for you. You're going to have to get in this tournament. Then I'm all in. You know, there's no problem to me. You know, hey, I have to get in there. I have to do what I got to do. So there's no problem for me. I'm game.
I heard that, man. This is a throwback fighter right here, Paul Williams. You heard how he talking? That's how Mayweather should have been talking. But anyways, man, it's been a privilege, man.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate that, man. Thanks for that support, man.
No doubt.
Hey, Paul, real quick, before you take off, man, did you listen to that interview that R.A. Rugged Man did with Money Floyd? And if you did, what were your thoughts about that, man?
Yeah, man, the dude spoke the truth, man. He boxing knowledge. That dude, he knew boxing and stuff. Like he said, okay, if at first you did, you know, when you was doing crowds and everybody, you know, so you did what you did. But now you fighting guys, you coming 17 pounds heavier than, you know what I'm saying, bigger than, and then you talking about when they ask you about me and other guys, you talking about, well, Williams, he too big. I mean, if I'm too big, why are you fighting guys that you bigger than? You know, you keep contradicting yourself, you know. So the dude, he really got on him and stuff, you know, and that woke a lot of people up, you know. I mean, a lot of people on Twitter was hitting me up, telling me, they interviewed me on the little on website. That they was on and stuff, so it was kind of crazy and stuff. I mean, he really rapped them out on that.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna tell you right now. When I heard that interview, I was laughing my ass all the way down. You know, we're gonna have R.A. Rugged Man on tomorrow night, Paul. you know, tune in, or if you want to call in to chop it up a little bit again, you know, to speak to R.A. Rugged, man, hey, you're more than welcome.
Hey, Williams, you, hey, Paul, you noticed that when R.A. Rugged Man said that Williams was spank that ass, Mayweather didn't say nothing.
Yeah,
you noticed
he
that?
He knows the deal. Like you said, he's too big. You know, so that's all you're gonna have to say. But he ain't gonna disrespect or say nothing crazy out of the way. Because he knows that if he says whatever he said, I can't, or he said this and that. And people, okay, well, prove it then. You know what I'm saying? Williams will definitely prove it. So then, you know, he didn't want to get into that conversation. He cut that real shout.
Yeah, he sure did.
Oh man, we got Paul the Punisher Williams leaving in the ring. Chopping it up a little bit with us about what he's going to do next. Got Sergio Martinez on December 5th. Hopefully he's successful. I think he's going to be successful, even though it's a tough,
I know I'm successful, man.
There you go. He said it. Going to be successful. Even mentioned, yo, Arthur Abraham, it would take him out of the water. It's going to take him out of the ring if they step in. You know, so confident man. You got my boy Blood on the line. Paul the Punisher Williams. If there was a pound for pound on leaving the ring, he'd be on the top of that list. Hey, Paul, thank you very much, man. Hey, can you pass this on through to Mr. Peterson, your manager?
Yeah, I do that. And thank y'all for having me, man.
Hey, thanks for coming through, brother.
Hello?
Mr. Peterson, how you doing, brother?
Fine. How you doing?
Hey, I want to appreciate you coming through. I'm on this time. I know it's late over there. We got a few questions for you. You know, some questions that we had from the last segment you were on, and the last segment we had on was very live. A lot of people responded back to it. A lot of people loved the fact that you were on. You were very open about the subject, about the whole Pavlik situation. But there was other things that were lingering around that fight fans they were not able to get clarified, and we weren't able to get across to. Four hardcore fight fans that were wondering. One is if Mr. Paul Williams is successful on his December 5th, because at the moment there was not a suggested name at the time. But now that there is, when, like the way Paul's saying it, I am going to be successful over Sergio Martinez. And if he's when he's successful over Sergio Martinez, what are you guys going after then? Is there a possibility, because Jermaine Taylor at this moment does not look like the man that should keep continuing his quest at 168, and you being the management, has it been brought to your guys' attention, or has it been any thought of a possibility of making Paul Williams jump to 168 and following into this tournament?
Well, I'm really discouraged about this whole boxing community. You know, these guys call themselves boxers and fighters, and they're the best this and the best that. And this man is having to move up each time he's fighting there. Because, you know, these so-called greats and pound-for-pound fighters don't want to fight him. He got four guys in front of him that's considered pound-for-pound that refuse to fight him. So, I mean, but, you know, it's not fair. But who's to say boxing is fair? But for the most part, I don't see us going up to 168. And then, you know, if we get to the point we dominate that, then they say, well, you got to go up to 175. It doesn't make sense. This guy's a 147-pound fighter, and he can make 147 anytime he gets ready. If the right fight comes along, there's nobody out there but Cotto and Chain Mosley and Mayweather at 47. Any one of them guys say, okay, Paul, let's dance, we'd be right there to greet him.
How do you make a Floyd Mayweather Jr., how do you squeeze him into wanting to fight your fighter? I mean, you guys have to have some type of strategy. I mean, in order to walk into an office of a promoter and the rival promoter that you guys are trying to make a contract be substantial for them or even intriguing to them to want to sign on to it, what is something that you feel that you need to try to do to push a Floyd Money Mayweather into signing?
That's just impossible. That will never happen. He will never challenge a person on his level. You can forget all about that. His legacy as being them. This guy's claiming that he was better than Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Joe Louis, Rocky Montana, because Rocky Montana never lost. But he claims his claim to fame is, hey, I'm undefeated. And these guys never drew the kind of people that I'm drawing, and I'm undefeated. So, but the thing about it is, sure, he's undefeated. He'll stay undefeated when he's fighting the kind of competition that he's fighting. You follow what I'm saying?
I follow exactly what you're saying. And yeah. You know,
do you think he would take a challenge? You know, Sugar Shane stepped up in front of him on his last fight, and he was about to run out of the doggone way. He was scared. He was so scared. He's scared to death. You know, so I mean, that's the kind of fighter that he is.
Well, let me ask you this then, you know, because you guys took on a fight that a lot of people at the moment even back then at the time, maybe now, but a lot of fighters weren't having faith in Tony Margarito, and there's talk about his comeback coming up pretty soon by the next year. If you cannot get anything, a setup, any other fights after Sergio Martinez? First of all, I gotta applaud you guys. Sergio Martinez is not a walk in the park. I think that's a very difficult fight. I think it's an intriguing fight because, like I mentioned to Paul Williams, I don't think hardcore fight fans would have been upset if you would have picked on another Andy Cole, you know, to get himself ready for December 5th, because the fact is, this is a big turnaround from facing Pavlik to a guy that moves around in the ring, completely different style. But successful over Sergio Martinez, Antonio Margarito obviously is a name that is still out there to make money on. Would that be a possibility? I mean, this guy...
If we ever fight Paul again, we offered him rematch after rematch. We offered him $4 million, offered Shane Mosley $4 million, and they fought each other for two. Now, I wasn't the best in my math class, but I found out that four was much bigger than two.
It is. A lot bigger than two, you know.
Yeah.
Six numbers above two. But then let's go back to this, because there's been two fighters in history, you know, that been avoided. They had to do the hard road, which is the blue-collar way of doing things, which is work hard, and never go home. And those names that come to mind automatically is Bernard Hopkins. But the one of the guy that really comes to mind, who I think really honestly kind of shows the hard workmanship of any fighter, is by the name of Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Do you guys
Absolutely.
Feel you're
Absolutely.
The guy, you're the new? So do you keep trucking, or do you dump over before your man becomes the superstar that he's been destined to be?
But we can't keep jumping from weight class to weight class to weight class, because these clowns won't challenge him. We can't keep doing that. You know, this guy, like I said, and if one of those guys at 47 will call this young man out, hey, this guy will be down at 47. He tried. We tried until we decided that, hey, it's not going to happen. So let's move on up.
Let's talk about
bikes there, and then we move up to 60.
Mr. Peterson, because really, honestly, let's be realistic. 147 is out the door already. That's not even a door. That's not even an optional door. You know, nobody wants to face him at 147. Everybody that's in 147 has already said he's too big. You can say Mosley's father, Jack Mosley, has been very vocal about it. My son will never fight him, you know. You got other guys that are 5'8", barely breaking 5'7", like Manny Pacquiao. These are unrealistic fights. These guys, Freddie Roach, to me, is one of the great matchmakers of boxing. He knows how to set his fighters to fight fights that are possible wins for his fighters. So 154 right now is not a deep division. The only name out there right now that I see that even gave a fighter that you guys defeated is Daniel Santos.
Right.
Now, okay. 160, really honestly, was the division that you guys can conquer. I mean, if you were to get Kelly Pavlik into the ring, defeat Kelly Pavlik, you hold on to the belt, and then you do exactly what Bernard Hopkins does, which is, you know, clean out the division with a lot of no-namers and hopefully there's a tournament that's at 160. But if not, then the more sensible thing would go up to 168. Why not go to 168?
Well, now the network plays a very important part and his boxing matchmaking. Kelly Pavlik would have been the only person out there that would have interested the network.
Right.
Meaning everything under that, under 60, hey, you just could forget about it because the network wouldn't even touch it. So that means where do we go from there? We can't go back to 54. We can't go back to 47 because we done tried those weights.
Now, do we have to go back up to 60? I'm taking a welterweight, putting him there, putting it back up in 168. Oh, now he will definitely get in there. And be, but do you continue to do that? No, you don't continue to do that.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not telling you. You don't continue to do that. It's not right.
It's not right, you know. And I guess my question is, in this business of boxing,
But why did it come? You know, they want to criticize this guy about his size. You know, they had Camaro. You remember him? You got this guy, this 7-foot fighter out there. They don't talk about this guy's size.
I can tell you exactly why. I'm 5'9". If I'm 147.
But the sanctioned body is not governed on size, it's governed on the weight.
Exactly.
Mike Tyson was 5'10". He fought guys 6'5", 6'6", 6'8". So I don't want to hear this size stuff. No, don't come to me with that, brother. It's just that it's the size of your heart, not the size of your heart.
Well, I agree with you because... I absolutely agree with you because if I remember correctly, Tito Trinidad was 5'11 at 147. You know,
okay.
Thomas Hearns was 6'1 at 147. But, you know, I mean, those are some of the games that right now that, unfortunately, our community of boxing are playing with. Those are the deck of cards that they're laying on the table.
Well,
and it looks like
the Girl Scouts. They got more Girl Scouts than they got boxers. Let me tell you one thing. If you're a fighter, you're a fighter. And it's just as simple as that. All this other stuff, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's just a game. Now, if you call yourself a fighter, look, I used to sell insurance. I tell you, my sales manager told me one day. He said, "Are you a salesperson?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, go out there and sell something." Then he told me, you know, you're a salesperson. You're not a salesperson. Yeah, so I'm saying the same thing. If you're a fighter, then fight. You know what I mean?
Mr. Peterson, if you had a chance, let me ask you this. If you had a chance right now, and you had a chance to maybe, you know, negotiate with any fighter, any manager out there, or sanction or commission, what would be the first thing come in mind that you would want to see your fighter get a shot at?
Well, we exhaust all our avenues from there, but you mean the person?
Yeah.
You mean there is not one person. We want to get the most bang for the buck. When I say that, I mean the most fame and the most glory. This man want to be considered as one of the best. How can he when the so-called best won't fight him? It's not about the dollar bills with this guy. It's not about the dollar bills with me. But with his skill level and his talent, he wants to one day be a household name. How can he be that? I'm asking you because I think you can help me with this because our efforts haven't been the best. So you share that with me. How can he be considered as being the best when the best won't fight him, the so-called best won't fight him?
I don't know. I'm puzzled.
Okay.
I'm about as puzzled as you are right now. You know what I mean? I mean, I could have 100, 300, 400, 5 fever at this moment, and I'm just not getting it. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me share this with you.
Go ahead.
You know, this guy, the last 7-8 fights, been fighting people that nobody will fight. This guy, is the first time he was exposed out there was with a guy by the name of Walter Matthysse. 25 fights and 24 knockouts. He knocked everybody out that he fought. The only fight that got away was a no contest. Nobody would fight this guy. They didn't know about this guy. They had no tapes or nothing on him. All they knew was knocking people out. Paul Williams got in and he fought it. And he beat him. He stopped him. Then came Margarita. Nobody wanted to fight the most feared man in the world. Paul Williams said, "Hey, I'll fight it." And he had been saying it for the longest time. But let me tell you what happened. He fought Margarita and he beat him. Same thing about Verno Phillips. Nobody wanted to fight Verno Phillips. You know what happened? He got in there and he stopped Verno Phillips. Nobody wanted to fight Winky Wright. What happened? He got in there and he fought Winky Wright. And Kelly Pavitt, he was going to get the same spanking that he put on those other guys. So this guy ain't ducking nobody. He's challenging everybody that the people don't want to fight. And he's doing an exceptional job. You follow what I'm saying?
I follow you.
He's doing a wonderful job with what he's doing. But on the other hand, you think he would get credit for what he does? Oh, no, they don't even mention Paul Williams' name. They don't mention it. They suppress this guy's talent and his skill level. You know why they suppress it? Because it may wake a lot of people up. And if you wake a lot of people up, they're going to start asking for some of these so-called best. So, no, what we do, we just cover that up. Keep that under the rug, Paul Williams. Let's keep that under. Let's suppress that. That's all that. That's what this is all about.
Wow. See, man, I got to agree with you all the way what you just said right now. Mr. Peterson, I'm going to ask you one last question, and then I'm going to let you go because I know we've had you on for almost an hour. But this question really honestly it is for you and my co-host, who's African-American, okay? And it's a subject, really honestly, that's always touchy, you know, with everybody, okay? But, you know, leaving in the ring, we're real.
I think I know what you want. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, all right. Now, and I question this because I've been vocal about it. I'm a Paul Williams hardcore fight fan. People that know me personally know I love Paul. You know, I want to see Paul succeed. I think he's one of the best fighters out there right now. He's doing the things that really what fighters need to do for fight fans is take any fight that's given to him at the moment.
That's right.
You feel that if Paul's last name was Escobar or Chavez
that's
or
right. That's I was getting ready to tell you that. I mean, if he was a
go ahead. Give it to me.
If he was a white boy, let me tell you one thing.
Come on, lay it down, man. You know, keep it real. What you got?
I told you I was getting ready to answer that for you before you came out with it.
He go ahead.
At the wrong time and the wrong color. You understand what I'm saying? That's it. Wrong time meaning that right now these guys are not fighting. Wrong color meaning that he can't get the attention of the Hispanic people and the white folks. You follow me?
Yeah, I follow you.
The attendance. But sure enough, if he had been a white boy or Hispanic, man, this guy would be riding so high. You follow what I'm saying?
I follow
He'd break
you,
all records. He would break all records. Pay-per-view and everything else.
Blood, what you got to say about that?
Hey man, hey, I don't, I can't even add on nothing to that, man. I got some questions for him when y'all ready though.
go ahead, it's all yours. The panel is all yours, brother.
Hey, I got a question for you, Mr. Peterson. I spoke to you before, and you know we were having a good conversation, and I just wanted to ask you, what's your opinion on a legacy in regards to legacy versus fighters who win it for the money, legacy versus money. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, the legacy will last a long, long, much longer than the money. The legacy will last from now on. He's written there, they had record books, and they had magazines and everything. And in the boxing community and the people mind, it'll go on and on and on. But that money will tend to leave you after a while. I know you know, and you heard of champions that made millions and millions and millions of dollars. Money gone.
So when you hear fighters talk about, when you hear fighters say, "Hey, well, I'm all in it for the money," or I'm doing this because why should I fight this man for this amount of money?
I'm turned off. I think they need to get paid for what they do now. I mean, you got to market yourself just like anything else. But when they get to the point, I'm not going to fight this guy because I can't make enough money. I'm not going to fight this guy because I can't make enough money. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right at all.
So do you think that we as fans, do we have the right to question these fighters' motives as far as the fight game is concerned? Or because we're fans, we don't have the right to question their motives or their antics? We put our money into these fights now.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's right. But you don't get the best fights, although you put your money in there. But you don't get the best fights. You know, the pay-per-view that's coming up. Okay, they're good. But do you have the best fighters fighting? No, you don't have the best fighters fighting. You're just being entertained by some garbage. But now, when are you getting in the? When are you seeing a challenge where there's a coin toss to decide the winner? when do you see a fight like that? You don't see a fight like that. Because these guys are choosing guys that they know they can beat. That's what they did. They're going in with not one, two, three, four, five times advantage. Much more than that.
So there's some cherry picking going on in the fight
so
game.
Anymore. That's why MMA is so popular now. Because these guys
right.
didn't even fight. But these other guys, these boxers, man, hey, man, I can't fight this guy. This guy's weight is this. This guy's height is this. And, man, and I just can't fight this guy. You know, that doesn't make sense.
Does holding multiple belts mean as much as it used to, say, 20 years ago? Holding multiple belts saying, hey, I'm a three-time champ?
Yeah, you know, let me tell you, not really, because Paul got six belts now. You know, and we're not chasing belts anymore. We could have possibly worked down to 54, no doubt about that, to fight for this guy's belt. But, you know, for 7 weeks we've been doing up to 160 to fight Pavlik. And then here it is 3 and 4 weeks to drop back down because I had to build him up. I had to build him up so that I could get his weight so that we could work that weight off to come down to 60. You follow what I'm saying? Had I not built him up 65, had I not built him up 65 and work him and carry him through this kind of training that he needed to, he would have melted down back down to 54 or maybe 52. But I had to carry him much higher than that so that when he melt down, then he'll be at 60. You follow what I'm saying?
I hear you. I got a question. Paul, he ain't undefeated anymore, okay? But we all saw what he did. When he came back and, you know, he showed and proved. But being undefeated right now, does that make you the best fighter just because you're undefeated? Does that make a person the best fighter because they're undefeated?
Well, Mayweather says so. I mean, he never lost, and that's what he told me. He's still undefeated.
So does that
– his whole card. He stressed that more so than anything else. But he's so undefeated for a reason. You think he would? Here's a guy that's 147-pound champion. Now, I couldn't figure this out. He's a 147-pound champion. They got three other champions that he never fought. And he considers himself to be the best. Not even a number one contender.
So, he said he's greater than Sugar Ray Robinson. What do you think about that?
You know what Larry Holmes told Who was that? That somebody could take it, could carry his jocks.
Oh, Rocky, yeah.
So I look at it like that. I look at that like that. You know, and the thing about it is, I look for him to get away with doing the things that he's doing. I look for him to retire. That was maybe 45 fights of fighting nobody's. Because the network seemed to be enjoying it. They say, hey, he got these numbers. They keeping him out front. So, you know what I mean? Business is business. It's about dollar bills. So now they got this guy convinced that he can sell out pay-per-views. But that's not the case. See, that's not the case. I seen this young man. Let me tell you one thing. This guy that we're talking about, the only reason why a million pay-per-views was sold, here is a guy that the boxing community want to see. Here's a guy that's bringing his own urine, bringing his own piss, and people want to see just how he's going to perform. And so they buy off to the pay-per-view.
I heard that.
Sold that pay-per-view out. You follow what I'm saying? Everybody that I talked to, oh, man, this guy's drinking his own urine. This guy drinks his own urine. This guy drinks his own urine. Oh, I got to see this. I got to see that. That's what that was all about. Had that statement not made on the 24/7, it'd have been disgusting.
Okay.
I got one question myself. This is Strikeheart. I just wanted to get a little bit of clarification on something that I had read when your fight with Pavlik got canceled, and then in the weeks following, there were different names mentioned. One of them was Joshua Clady. What weight were you guys willing to fight him at, and what exactly happened with that? I read that he said no way.
54, 52. Again, you know, we considered where we were. See, these guys, if they want a 54 fight, I can't be at 60. in a week's time, in a month's time, get down to 54. I can't do that. But now, if they started out from the gate, listen, right after this fight, we take it on all comers again and see how many people going to stand in line. We'll do 47 and we'll do 54. See where the line is going to be.
So, what exactly did Joshua tell you guys? Because from what I heard, he said
my trainer gone back to Africa and here's the thing, and I hadn't trained in 5 days. I hadn't been in the gym, and we know that to be absolutely lie, because I got some people that works in that same gym, that coaches in that same gym, was telling me, gave me the whole details. This guy's in the gym every day.
Uh-huh.
You follow what I'm saying? And the money that was offered to him, that $650,000, was three times as much more money than he ever made.
Right.
And listen, that was presented to him. It was negotiable. See, when they're offering him that, now it's time to sit down to the negotiating table. You got what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
Are you with me?
I'm absolutely with you.
Okay. But that never happened. Yeah.
Right. It was disappointing to me because I'm a big Paul Williams fan, but I'm also a Joshua Claudy fan. I was disappointed that he didn't even entertain the idea to fight Paul Williams.
Well, you know, Joshua Claudy is a six round fighter. After six round, you put a fork in him, he's dead man. You know what I mean? Yeah, he started crying after the sixth round. So you know, when it comes down to going to 12 rounds, you can forget about him. He ain't gonna be there.
So you think it's a stamina problem? I almost think it's just he's so reserved that he just doesn't let it go.
If you got a guy beating you on your head, and you don't want to let it go.
Okay.
No, it's not that. It's not that.
Absolutely. Mr. Peterson, man, I really appreciate you coming on and leaving the ring one more time with us and chopping up and answer all the questions that, you know, like I said, we're leaning around that hardcore fight fans wanted to know about. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I hope to get you on again soon when you have the time, because I know you got a busy schedule, especially trying to get these fights to happen.
Yeah, we fight busy. I'm afraid what's going to happen after this fight. Paul is situated now financially where he can retire today. He don't have to throw another punch. So with that in mind, and with all this disappointment, you know, these disappointments that are taking place, you know, the play didn't came, man. You don't have to go through this. Just back up off this thing. Find something else to do, because you don't need to be in there doing what you're doing now. And just get you a plane ticket and go sit on the front row of some of these fights.
Exactly, yeah. Brother. Well, I'm hoping you guys, you know, like your fighter just said right now, there's no hope and there's no I. If, he said, I'm going to succeed. Defeating Sergio Martinez, wish you guys the best of luck. Can't wait to get you on again, brother.
Okay, appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you. We're going to go on a quick break, guys, on Leaving the Ring. If you just tune in right now, we just had Paul the Punisher Williams and we had Mr. Peterson, who's his manager, talk a little bit about what's going on next. On December 5th, he's got Sergio Martinez to face. And what's going to happen? Is he going to move up? Is he going to move down? To find out, you got to go on demand on thewillbebloodfightshow.com or standandfight.com, or you can go to iTunes. My bad. You can go to iTunes, download this show, so you can cruise around with it in your earphones and see what's up. Now, we're going to have a special radio show right after the Manny Pacquiao versus Cotto fight. You want to tune in? I know everybody's juices is running and going and stuff. It's something that's been asked and requested from us time and time and time again. A lot of people, ever since we had the radio show, a lot of people have hit us up, yo, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? And my colleagues over here said, yo, it's that time. We need to make this happen. So on the 14th, on the Miguel Cotto versus Manny Pacquiao fight, immediately an hour after, we're going to have a radio show to discuss the outcome, see what happens. You know, some of us have some picks for Cotto, some of us have picks for for Manny Pacquiao. We got some special guests coming through. We're not going to make that announcement until the day of the fight. Then we'll make it through and we'll check it out. Our next guest is going to be Alex Ariza, who's part of the Manny Pacquiao camp, who's a nutritionist for Manny Pacquiao, who helps Manny gain the proper weight to make 145. So we're going to go on a quick break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have Alex on the line because he's scheduled to be on Leaving the Ring at 7 o'clock. Blood, I'm happy you got on, brother. I know you've been busy for a minute.
Hell yeah. I'm glad I came on just in time, I see.
Absolutely, man. You know, and you know, Blood, and me and Blood, everybody knows, you know, with Chris Strikeheart, David Chen, my man, and Rob Rilla out of Puerto Rico, who keeps coming in and out. You know, the reason why he's coming in and out on the radio show at the moment right now is because he has to spar in today, and he's like a little disappointed in himself. You know Rob Rilla, man, he's got some high expectations of himself. He doesn't understand that there's a working process. If you have a bad day in sparring, it's not the end of the world. It's part of the business. You got to lose. You got to get your ass whooped once in a while. But to the haters out there that ain't leaving the ring, 97 Rough and Blood, Chris 916, David Chen and Strikeheart. Well, I don't know if they hate David Chen and 916. How could you hate on those guys? They're too nice.
Nah, I don't know. 916 been pretty getting pretty vicious lately.
He's been vicious,
hey. At the top of the show, too, man. He let it out on the WBC at the top of the show.
He did, dog. I mean, he got some new sneakers or something because the dude is just walking. Walking on them right now at this moment, you know what I'm saying? But this is what I got to say. Yeah, go ahead.
Man, I'm just letting out some stress, man. Y'all been overworking me this past week and a half, man. I had to let it go.
Hey, they were overworking Bob Riddler and Chris, man, with a lot of the MMA world. There's a lot of stuff popping off at that moment. Even had a crazy fan from MMA Blood come in through this a little while ago say, boxing sucks. MMA's where it's at. He said, fuck Mayweather, fuck Bernard Hopkins. That's what the dude came through and said. Just for a minute,
what?
And it hung up before we could even respond. The guy's name was Felix, the cat. Dude was a cat.
Yeah, he called him a private number.
Yeah.
He didn't stay on and at least get to hear some input and express himself a little more.
Nothing.
He
just
called from a private number, yo. It was like 111. You can't know where he's calling from.
he did exactly what we used to do back in the days as players. You know what I'm saying? When you told the girl I love you just to get a little, and then the next day you change the number. That's what he did. That's what he did, man. You know, hey, my boy boxing historians on the chat room, Ashley Knuckles, Carlitos, they all came through. You got Eric Johnston on the chat room, my boy Art from Seven Fight, my co-partner, co-founder of Leaving in the Ring, along with Blood, Chris, David Chen, Strikeheart, Rob Riddler. Keep it up, brother. Keep them gloves up. Don't even trip. Don't worry about what Daniel Santos is thinking about you at the moment, because there's always another day. But this is what we got to say to the haters of Leaving in the Ring. Keeping it always real. Don't trip. We got you. Bang, bang.
They can't fuck with the boy Lloyd, I'm too real. They don't know what beef is. These niggas better chill. See, I'm cool. Unless I had to murk something, that's when I and murder them, man. I said they eyelids from balance. Nigga, you see you wildin'. Your team against my team, it ain't no challenge. Nigga know we mobbin', rollin' in thousands. Man, we were indeed, they had talent. The world you the herb, nigga clowning. Polishing they knuckle game, bashing your mouth in. Thought you was thugging, but now nigga, you fronting. See me, you were gone all along. This nigga, not a thing. It's on now. See his ass in the street. Out come the guns, know the tons, man. We gotta eat. QB, nigga, and we don't give a fuck who won B. We don't care about your cars, nigga, see we gotta eat. We don't care about your bras, nigga, see we love the street. Front, get your ass up, nigga, VIP. Hey, we don't front in them streets when it come to that beat. You know we
shoot
and leave them dead on the concrete. Need more heat for more beat. More guns, we more deep. More guns or more streets. To be born is no sleep. Just more heat for police. Says it comes to squeeze when we
shoot.
I'ma leave him buried in a 3-piece suit. Come on, Duke, you know my gun shoot. Niggas know my name, niggas know my gun bang bang. Niggas know what time it is, niggas know my style, kid. Niggas know I rep the bridge. Come on, niggas screaming they hood, but outside they hood, they nothing. Niggas never. Nah, niggas screaming they hood, I run up in they hood and this is how we do it, man. Niggas screaming they hood, but outside of they hood, they nothing. Niggas never. Niggas screaming they hood, I run up in they hood and. Hey yo, niggas don't want it. If they want it, then they get it. See, I talk because I live it, and I walk with a mean limp. Know what I mean? Keep the things on my hip, got a mean kick, and I don't be without it. Look, I'm the next best cat slinging rap, slinging nigga out of Queensbridge, and I don't be playing with the meanest. I'm more into drama bringing. Have you in dirt? Your mama in church with her choir singing. Step out your zone, you get blown open, leak it. Nigga, I'm terror like a squad for the Puerto Rican. Insomniac with drama, nigga, there's no sleeping. I got nickel plated revolvers for that reason. See, I've been puffing blunts and I'm high, but bet I'm on point, boy, I punch you in your eye. Cause every time they tell me put my gun away, I tell them, you're right, boy, I'm cause I ain't trying to fight and I ain't dying tonight. I'm trying to scoop me some boots to wear them out until they worn out, that's right. And anything else is just uncivilized. I'm trying to come out with the cutie pies, boy. Niggas screaming they hood, but outside they hood, they nothing. Niggas never. Nah, niggas screaming they hood, I run up in they hood and. Cause this is how we do it, man. Niggas screaming they hood, but outside of they hood, they nothing. Niggas never. Niggas screaming they hood, I run up in they hood and.
And we're back. Hello, how's everybody?
I'm good.
Yo, all right. Just a special announcement. Once again, we will be doing a special edition of the show after the Pacquiao Cotto fight on the November 14th, probably an hour after the fight. And you know, it'll be a good time for everybody to come and chop it up about the fight. It'll be a very unique experience. You know, the fight is still fresh in everybody's memory. Things like that. Is Rob Riddler on right now with us? You know, he's in and out.
I got. What's up, brother? I got Alex Ariza on the line right now. Alex, are you on?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What's up, brother? First off, I gotta thank you very much for coming through. I know you got a very busy schedule with the fight coming up on November 14th with Manny Pacquiao versus Miguel Cotto.
Oh. Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
I know you're
things going well.
What do you mean? I know you're excited as about as much as every hardcore fight fan right now because this is really considered a super fight. But really, I think a lot of the weight issue has to weigh with you because you're the guy that has got to make sure that he makes the proper weight to be superb, right?
Yeah, that's right. But you know, Manny deserves a lot of the credit because he's been working so hard. He's been following the diet program, the strength and conditioning program this whole camp. There weren't really any distractions. I think this is the best camp in the last four fights that I've been with him. I think this is the best one that we've had so far.
Well, Alex, you know, the last time we spoke, he was gonna be facing Ricky Hatton, and you had told me once on the radio show, you said, "This is the best I've seen him, the biggest." When he was facing Oscar De La Hoya, and I went down over there to go see him, he was at 152, 153. Does it surprise you when you hear people say he's a small guy? Because realistically, even though he's almost 5'7", or breaking over 5'7", he's really not a small guy, is he?
No, he really isn't. But, I mean, we've been hearing that since David Diaz. We said that David Diaz was bigger and stronger than he was, and it didn't turn out that way. Oscar De La Hoya was bigger and stronger, and it didn't turn out that way. Ricky Hatton was supposed to be the real deal at 140. you know, bigger and stronger, was going to manhandle him and, you know, whatnot, and it didn't work out that way. And you know, for this fight, I said the same thing. You know, once we get on the scales, we'll see who the bigger guy is, and the night of the fight, we're going to see who the stronger guy is for sure.
Now, let's back it up real quick, because I have said Freddie Roach, in my opinion, is one of the greatest matchmakers at the moment, you know, because he knows how to set the fights that are good, the fights that need to be done for his fighter, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, he calls it like he calls it better, like he has a crystal ball or something. I mean, I don't know anybody who can see weaknesses and can call it. I mean, he's the best handicapper in the business right now.
He is, you know, and the funny part about it is that I even asked him, hey, when are you going to lead me to that Back to the Future car that's in the back of your house? Because, you know, I don't get it. But this, going back, I mean, Oscar De La Hoya, really honestly, was not the best Oscar De La Hoya that we saw. Ricky Hatton, in my opinion, and a lot of people, and even when it came out of Freddie's mouth, when I went down to interview him the last time, he even said, come on, Dave, we know he was never a good fighter. But Miguel Cotto is a legitimate fighter. This is a real welterweight. This guy's got a chance of knocking your man out, right?
You know, I of course he does. I mean, it would be dumb to say that he doesn't. He's a strong guy. He's a very durable guy. I think we've all seen him come over some obstacles in a lot of fights where a lot of other fighters would have quit, and he's come and he's prevailed in them. So, yeah, for sure. You know, Miguel Cotto is the real deal, no doubt.
Of course, I want to keep talking about the Manny Pacquiao situation. I want more of an insight of what is the dietary that he's taking. And, you know, there's been some problems in the camp that's been reported. There's been some rumors that you can obviously clarify. But, Alex, I heard you've been getting pretty feisty with those hands, brother. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
You know, there's not really much to tell. It was a disagreement. It was somebody who really isn't
You gave the man a five-finger discount, I heard. Alex, I mean, that's not a little bit to tell. You gave the man a five-finger discount, right?
I did. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, it's just, you know, Freddie, I have to give you, Freddie's a more patient man. He's a more professional guy. And unfortunately, I hope this isn't any reflection on him or Manny. It was just, he was talking about something that's, number one, way out of his pay grade. Number two, he doesn't know shit about,
No, it's okay. We cuss all the time, Alex. I mean, you know, as hardcore fight fans, you know, we're one of those subjects that maybe the WBC will ban us from doing a radio show because we cuss all the time. Ain't that right, Blood? You know?
Yeah.
So go ahead, man. Keep telling us what happened.
So yeah, I just, you know, with all the what he had started with, you know, interfering with Freddie and Manny's relationship, not letting Freddie get in touch with Manny, you know, constantly trying to keep them separated, not having a room for Freddie. When we got to Baguio, you know, putting Freddie a half an hour away from Manny, you know, he's just, that's, you know, that kind of passive aggressive stuff that he does, and you know, he perpetuates it with, you know, doing little things like that, or, you know, trying to cram us all in one room. And, you know, but he crossed the line when he started talking about the corner and what we, I mean, we're the Team Pacquiao, Freddie, Boo Boy, myself, you know, the other guys. I mean, we're the real guys that are part of this team. He's just a hanger on as far as I'm concerned. And he talked
right
about something that had, like I said, was way out of his pay grade and he didn't know anything about. And it was time to, you know, to straighten him out.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, does this man not understand you guys have been successful with Manny Pacquiao because of the way you guys coordinate as a team, the way you move as a team? I mean, does this guy need a new prescription of glasses?
You know, like I said, you know, I mean, man, like I said, Manny's given him little tedious tasks to do, and he's taking it just a little bit step further. And just because he gets, like I said, he gets to, you know, maybe stir up Manny's oatmeal in the morning or you know, like I said, pick what hotel they stay at. It gives them, you know, that false sense of empowerment. Like, you get to control things. And, you know, like Manny says, you know, you need to mind your own business and do exactly what I tell you and never mind what we're doing and let us do our job. But that's just Michael. You know, he's just trying to, you know, just have a say in something, anything. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I've never known a grown man to sleep in a garage underneath in a parking structure, and they call themselves a manager and advisor. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, I don't know. I'm an educated guy, but I really can't speak intelligently when it comes to Michael Kahns.
Well, you know, first off, before you keep going further, I got to say this about you, Alex. Is we've met several times. We've hung out several times. And one of the most classiest people in boxing, you know, and when I found out about this, and you, when you mentioned something, it was a key word. You said professional. You said, well, you know, I'm not as professional as Freddie Roach. Brother, you are professional as Freddie Roach, okay? But I guess we all have our lines to be crossed, and the man obviously crossed your line because that is really out of your norm. I mean, I couldn't believe that I heard that you gave this man the five-finger discount because that's really something I would have probably done or my co-host Blood would have done, a strike card. You know, I know Chris wouldn't have done it. I know Dave because they have paces like Freddie Roach. But me, I would have bit him. I would have bit his nose off for nosing into my business. Let me ask you this. After giving him the chin check that you gave him, has he changed his ways? Has he understood? Look, there's a protocol, and the protocol is...
I think for sure he has, you know, but again, you know, this is really for all the Filipinos people out there because, like I said, you know, you can go to the Middle East and you can find groups that support Bush and you can find people that support him. You can't find one Filipino that likes Michael Kahn. I mean, how do you turn a whole race against you? Seriously, you couldn't do that if you tried. And he doesn't – you couldn't do it if you tried. And I don't know one person that likes the guy. I don't know one person on the team that likes the guy. You know, he's like I said, he's condescending, he's demeaning, he berates these guys. You know, Filipino people are warm, they're non-confrontational, they're sensitive, and – with Manny, they don't want to say anything because they don't want to disrupt him. They don't want to say the kind of crap he does to them or the way he treats them or the way he speaks to them. And, you know, like, unfortunately, it just got to a point to where, you know, diplomacy wasn't going to work with this guy. And, you know, I did what I did, you know.
Well, then let me ask you, how did this guy creep up into your guys' camp? I mean, if nobody likes this man, okay, if nobody likes him, then how did he get where he's at this moment?
You know, a lot of people don't like my dog because he bites, and, you know, he's not the friendliest dog in the world, but I'm not going to give him away. So, you know, whatever. You know, I mean, I don't know, you know.
Oh, man.
That's the only way I can put it, you know.
That's terrible. That's like talking about my, you know, that's like talking about my woman, you know what I'm saying? Nobody likes her, but I'm not giving her up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he does the little shit that nobody else wants to do, you know. He'll parade behind Manny and make sure he holds, you know, whatever, his cell phone, keeps the cologne ready, and, you know, will hold his press shirt until he's done training, and, you know, he'll do those things, you know. So.
Wow, that is just too much, you know. We got, you know, Alex, you know, we got this show going to happen immediately after the Cotto and Pacquiao fight. An hour after, we're gonna be live on the air because, you know, fight fans' emotions are just like no other. It's not,
no,
you know, it's crazy, you know. And I know a lot of hardcore fight fans right now, at this moment, what I'm seeing, there will be bloodfightshow.com and standandfight.com. The poll is crazy. It's divided at this moment because this is such a super fight in the welterweight division. This is a fight that's been needed for some time, you know. And
for sure.
This was a fight that I actually had mentioned to Freddie Roach back in December when he defeated Oscar De La Hoya before this fight was even mentioned to anybody. I said, hey, Freddie, what do you think about you guys stepping in with Miguel Cotto? And he had said, you know what, I never thought about that. Great matchup. I said, the size is no big difference. The arm length is no difference. And the weight wouldn't be no difference. And Miguel Cotto really would honestly be walking in questioning himself. You being in camp with him and going against the triumphs of what's been in front of you in the Philippines, Manny's been, it's been reported he's been, you know, a little difficult to work with at the moment. How much difficulty has it been with you, though?
I don't know how these guys get these reports because, again, I'm telling you, and I think Freddie will agree, you know, we had a great camp. I think, as far as, you know, in the past, you know, you got to remember Manny is also very old school. He doesn't like a lot of change. So, you know, this whole new, you know, science approach to strength and conditioning and nutrition is he's always given me a little bit of, you know, back and forth. But for this one, there was nothing. He complimented everything. He liked it, and he went through with it. And I think, you know, you've seen him the way he looks physically. So, I mean,
Physically, he looks superb, but in the boxing game, the physique.
You're right. Aesthetics doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't mean he's conditioned. But I can assure you that Manny is in the best shape of his life. And, in Baguio, it was great. I mean, unfortunately for the typhoons. But I'm telling you, it worked in our favor because this is the first time that Manny actually took some mornings off. And Freddie and I started discussing about taking mornings off before sparring, and his sparring went through the roof after that. And now he's starting to realize that, you know, recovery is just as important as the exercising itself and the intensity and the eating and everything. So, you know, he just put it all together on his own. I mean, really, he deserves a lot of the credit of just, you know, trusting us and doing the program. But as far as the distractions, you know, really there weren't any aside for the hurricanes and, you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, trying to get out of Baguio when Freddie wanted to get out of Baguio. And, you know, but, I mean, there was nothing like what we heard or what you probably read. It really was probably the easiest camp. I mean, I think the best thing for us was getting out of L.A., getting away from the people who are just showing up and disrupting the camp, who are bugging them for tickets all the time, who are just, you know, just not giving them a break. I wish they would just respect them and realize that this is an important fight. And, you know, believe it or not, you know, anything can happen in there. It's, you know, life or death sometimes. So, you know, I wish people would just respect that.
Alex, let me ask you this real quick, okay? Because, like I said, and you even mentioned, you're just wondering, how do these rumors come about? Because even when he was facing Ricky Hatton, we had, you know, tons of people call us up and say, hey, he's got a foot problem. And we talked about that, you know?
Yeah.
Then now the new rumor is he's got a shoulder problem. Is that true?
Absolutely not. And I'll be honest with you. You know, if something happens, I mean, I'm not going to say anything now that I have to sit there and eat it at the end of a fight and say, yeah, he did have a shoulder problem. I lied to everybody. But I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to tell you the truth. Manny doesn't have a shoulder problem. He had a little bit of a blister on his foot in the beginning of camp, but worked through that. But that's it. We have been, knock on wood, injury-free except for the knee. That he banged it after the Ricky Hatton fight. It was a little sore, but, you know, the knee braces, you know, preventative, you know, measures. That's all I'm taking. I'm just keeping it warm, keeping it, you know, tight. But other than that, like, again, knock on wood, we've been very healthy in this camp.
I'm going to patch in some fight fans, you know, before I go to my co-hosts. I know some of my co-hosts got some questions for you and stuff. There's a guy that is a good friend of ours of the show. His name is Ashley Knuckles. He's got his own show going on, which is very entertaining. Love the guy. Ashley Knuckles, go ahead. You got a quick question for Alex Ariza from the Manny Pacquiao fan camp.
Okay. Obviously, Manny Pacquiao's big attributes that y'all are leaning towards in terms of defeating Miguel Cotto is his speed. But what is it about Miguel Cotto that y'all really respect? Because so far, all I've been hearing is that y'all are shooting for a first-round KO. And in my opinion, that just doesn't seem realistic when I think about the caliber of opponent that you'll be facing, that Pacquiao will be facing. So what is it about Miguel Cotto that y'all respect, or what is it that y'all don't respect about the game?
You know, unfortunately, I wish you were talking to Freddie because I'll be honest, I'm not really the boxing guy. I respect Cotto. I think he's a great fighter. I'm not the strategist here. Freddie sees as his weaknesses are, that's what he's basing his predictions on. For me, as far as what I respect about Cotto, I think he's a tremendous athlete. I think more, you know, when you see a fighter have to overcome, you know, trials and tribulations in the middle of a fight that you would cause other fighters to quit, and then they persevere and they go through it and they end up victorious at it. To me, you can't give anything but respect to the guy. So I don't have anything bad to say about Miguel Cotto. I really don't. I think I've met him. He's a nice guy. He's a pleasant guy. Unfortunately, you know, we're in the fight game, and you know, two guys have to fight, and somebody has to walk out a winner. Of course, you know, I want my guy to be the winner. But as far as you know, the weaknesses, again, I'm not the strategist. I don't study the tapes and stuff like that. So,
Alex, you got to at least look at what's in front of you as the guy that's got to make sure that he's up to par to face
right.
the challenge. I mean, if you're looking at Miguel Cotto, what are the things that you got to work at? I mean, is it speed that he has to be added to face Miguel Cotto, or is it weight in order to make damage against Miguel Cotto?
You know, I believe, I mean, in what I'm seeing and what we've seen, and I've watched, you know, I've been fortunate to be able to sit alongside Freddie Roach and watch him, you know, study tapes and break down fighters. It's the speed, you know, and I'm not the guy holding the mitts, but I know from Freddie, you know, Manny's stronger. He's faster than he was than in the Hatton fight. And we're, you know, we're a lot bigger than we were. So, I mean, he's holding this weight. He's able to carry it well. He's maintaining his speed and the velocity, and his power's gone up. So I think, I've seen, again, you know, the sparring partners that he has are very capable guys. I mean, very strong, big guys. Sean Porter's is a horse, man. And I think he's more athletic and he's for sure faster. And if not as strong, maybe stronger than Cotto. So, you know, those are things that lead me to believe that Manny is going to dominate this fight.
Alex, you know, I'm a betting man. And I love to put money down on the fights. So everybody put your phone down or turn down the radio show. Who's going to win, Alex? Who's going to win this fight?
Oh, Manny by knockout.
I'm gonna turn it on to the rest of the guys on the panel. David Chin, you got any questions for Alex, brother?
Yes, sir. Alex, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How you doing, my man?
Very good. Glad you got out of the ring at last. You know, did that bother you a lot? Like it seemed like it bothered everybody else on the show.
I'm sorry. One more time.
The ring that you got away from, you know, from the Philippines. Did that bother you as much as it seemed like it bothered everybody when we saw the show?
You know, I've trained in every kind of weather condition. You know, it's just water. You know, we're not going to melt. It's not the best for the training condition. You know, it makes the track wet and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, it becomes annoying after a while. But, you know, we do what we have to do, and, you know, we'll get over it and just move on.
You know, I got some questions for you just specifically as a nutrition coach of sorts because, you know, myself and a couple other guys on the show, we're involved in boxing where, you know, we go to gyms, we train, we work out. And just, you know, for all the young guys out there, you know, just tell them the simple things they should be doing to make sure they stay strong, you know, rest, you know, maybe what should they be eating? Just, you know, simple things like that, that somebody should always do to make sure they're you know, fit and strong.
If you're, you know, and this goes for any athlete, I always try to cover the five sources of protein. You know, I think cottage cheese is the most important protein out there because of its amino acid content and the way it supports the protein. Then you go to your eggs and then fish and then steak and then chicken. I mean, and that's how it rates from 1 to 5. So for Manny, for us or for me, I try to make sure that my athletes have one of those things throughout the day. And, you know, and hard training, you know, and the most important, believe it or not, just as hard as you're training your nutrition is that sleep. You've got to get that 8 hours of sleep. Let those muscles recover. Let your body recover. Otherwise, you know, you face that problem over training or just not having it.
Yeah, I have a question about, you know, Michael and folks like him because, you know, you're already taking care of Manny's nutrition. Freddie's taking care of Manny's boxing. You know, why does Manny need these other people around? I mean, who is bringing people like Michael? You know, who's bringing in all these other guys that really has nothing to do with his preparations for the fight? And honestly, it looks like it's just adding to the chaos of the situation.
You know, as far as Michael, I really don't I don't know about that. You know, I try to worry about my own backyard and my own responsibility. As far as that, I don't know, to be honest with you. I can only speak about what I do and what I'm supposed to do in my job. So whoever, you know, I just don't know. I wish I could answer that. I just don't have one for you.
I got you. Now, my last question would be, when you first heard that, you know, hey, Alex, our next assignment would be Miguel Cotto, what was the first thing in your thought as a nutritionist, you know, something new I got to do for Manny? It's like, oh, we're fighting Cotto. Well, I got to make sure Manny does this.
First thought was, oh, shit. That was my first thought, you know, because, Miguel Cotto's a bull. You know, he is what he is. The first thing when we thought was like, you know, can I get this guy, you know, as big as I need to get him and be functional and explosive and maintain, you know, the one thing that separates Manny from all the fighters is his speed and his footwork. And, you know, just fortunately, you know, that was the key. And again, you know, covering those five sources of protein every day, make sure that he got ample rest, and make sure that the muscle that we were putting on him was functional, and that is that upper body size was being complemented by his footwork, and you know, hopefully, lucky for us, everything worked together, and they're working great together.
And one final question, Alex, are you going to get to work the corner on this one?
I am going to work that corner. Let's clear this real quick. This is Freddie Roach's corner. This is Freddie Roach's fighter, and ultimately he has the say on who works that corner. So Michael Kahn's, again, doesn't have any say when it comes to this boxing part. This is it's Freddie Roach's corner. Freddie Roach and Manny made the decision to put me in that corner, and they're the only two that can pull me out of that corner.
Awesome. Good luck to you guys, and thank you for answering my questions, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to pass them on to Strike Card. Go ahead, brother. Ask you questions.
Sure. I'd like to start with asking you about what you make of Miguel Cotto's conditioning. Is there anything you've noticed or maybe read about or seen that you view as weakness in his training, strength and conditioning wise, or do you think that he does a pretty good job of that on his side as well?
Well, I like not to make too many, you know, assumptions on what you see on TV or what I see in pictures, but what I can say is in the past that he's overcome a lot of tough spots and fights. And the fight that he fought with Margarito, I thought was a great fight. I mean, whatever the controversy was, I think that it was his conditioning that took him as far as it took him. And, you know, I don't know Phil Landman. You know, I don't know him personally, but I think he's doing a good job. I think he's probably a legit guy out there. I mean, considering the guys that we've had to go up against, I don't know De La Hoya's guy, but that's probably the anatomy of what not to do before a big fight like this. And Mayweather training Ricky Hatton, that was a colossal debacle. So, you know, but Phil Landman, from what I've seen in the past and watching Cotto and being a fan of Cotto, I think he's done a really good job, and I think he deserves a lot of the credit.
Okay, fair enough. You seem to be, so far in this interview, contradicting a lot of what HBO's 24/7 has been making us, or trying anyway to make us think, which is that your camp was hectic and that things were crazy just about the whole time, and that Manny's really had kind of a confusing and weird camp. But from what I understand and the way you're putting it, that's not the case whatsoever. So clear that up maybe a little bit more than you already have. Why is HBO confusing us?
I guess it's open to interpretation. I mean, you have to understand, you know, I said this in the beginning, you know, when we couldn't get a hold of Manny we didn't know where we were training and all these things were happening. I told Steve Kim, I said, you know, if things were perfect and everything was running smooth and, you know, there weren't any distractions, diversions or interferences, then I would worry. I've been with Manny for four fights, and we always have all kinds of chaos and stuff like that. So to me, everything is running smoothly. So maybe it's me who's got it distorted. I mean, to me, the distractions were very minor and they were minimal, and you know, they weren't to me that big a deal. You got to remember, Manny grew up in the streets.
I mean,
he grew up, you know, fighting. He grew up, you know, wondering where he was going to eat. I mean, you guys know his story. So all this little bullshit, that doesn't faze Manny at all. You know, that's little stuff. I mean, Manny grew up, you know, literally fighting for his life. So all this little stuff doesn't really bother him.
Is he really as bad of a swimmer as we saw on television?
You know what they didn't show was the towards the end where he was when he got it down and he was doing pretty well, and so you know he's still practicing and he's gonna get it down, and it's something that he wants to implement the next time around. So he started off pretty bad though, yeah.
Okay, because I just feel like I'm being fed something that really isn't true from HBO, and I don't know if that's something that maybe Freddie Roach is involved in as a strategy to make Cotto think that it'll be easier than it's going to be, or what?
No, again, probably, you know, I'm thinking, you know, the way we've had our other camps and all the other, like, real serious stuff that we've had go on, to me this isn't that bad, but probably to other people, yeah, it's probably looking like, whoa, they got all kinds of stuff happening, you know? Oh, again, it might be open to interpretation, but for me, you know, considering the other three camps that we've had with, you know, bigger deals and worse things happening and, you know, more chaos, I thought this one ran really smooth.
Okay. So. Staying with 24/7, because to be honest, out of all the 24/7s, just keeping it real with you, this one's been like the most boring and disappointing 24/7 I think I've seen. And obviously, you're not the guy editing the footage. But what did you I'm assuming you watched the show, and I almost got excited for a second when I saw when they said that they were going to show some Cotto sparring, and you know they hyped it up for a quick second there saying that he doesn't let people see it and stuff, and then they go to stills, black and white stills of him throwing punches or something. What exactly did you make of that, man? Did you get excited like I did for a quick second there?
Of course, you know, everybody wants to see Cotto, you know, what he's doing in camp, just like any, you know, they probably want to know. Well, you know, Freddie doesn't hide anything, so we don't hide anything. You get to see, you know, what's going on, you know, from the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to our camp. Freddie is black and white. He's going to tell you straight, show it straight, and that's, you know, everybody's different in their camps. You know, some people want to, you know, keep everything behind closed doors, like, you know, Mayweather does the same thing. And, you know, maybe Cotto wants to do the same thing. I think, you know, it doesn't help promote the fight for sure. But, you know, ultimately it's their decision. And, you know, you can't, you know, 24/7 tries to get as much as they can, as much as they allow us or we allow them. So it's not really 24/7's fault. It's up to us, you know, what we let them film, you know.
Gotcha. I have a statement, and then I have one last question before I pass it on to the rest of the panel. Just next time you decide to punch somebody, make sure the 24/7 cameras are around, because
that
would make
okay.
for great TV. I don't want to hear about it. I want to see it next time.
You want to see it? Got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, especially Alex, that even the iPods got cameras, and your cell phones got cameras, brother. If you know that was gonna happen, you should have recorded it.
My biggest mistake was not waiting for the other people to walk out. I should have waited for Manny's Secret Service team to walk out. But, you know.
The only other question I had, and I know this isn't exactly why you're on the show or anything, but I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you still work with Amir Khan as well. And I just wanted to know exactly how things were going for his fight with Dmitry Salada coming up.
You know, it's funny. I just finished with Amir Khan just now. We were at the track doing some sprint work right before I talked to you guys. He's doing really well. You know, Amir's coming along really well. He's a work in progress. You know, kind of redeveloping him physically. But I think watching Demetrius. I don't think Demetrius is as good as Kotelnik. And I thought Amir performed really well against Kotelnik. You know, stuck to the game plan, fought smart, and you know. Yes, and, you know, he weathered a storm that, you know, guys his age, he's never been really 12 rounds with a hard guy like that, and he was intelligent enough to keep his, you know, game plan together. So I think he's going to do really well against Mitra.
When is that fight set for, and where is it going to be at again?
It's going to be December 5th, and it's going to be in England again.
So is he going to be in Vegas to watch the Pacquiao fight, or is he going to be still in L.A.?
No, he's gonna go with us because he's working with us right now, and Freddie's working with him. He's sparring already, and you know, him and Manny are friends, so you know they he's there, of course, to support Manny.
Absolutely, right. Brother. Well, Alex, man, I really appreciate you coming through. I know that there's some other people that want to ask some questions, but we're running really short on time, and
no
I know that we've had you on for some time right now, and I know you're a busy man. I want to thank you once again for coming on with Leave It in the Ring and talking to us for a short bit about what's going on in the camp and what was going on among other things that were outside the ring. Hopefully, if you got time, if you guys are victorious and you got some open window after an hour, you can come back on with us on November 14th and show your raw emotions with us and the Hardcore Fight fans on Leaving the Ring.
100%. You know, I really enjoy speaking with you guys, and I appreciate it, and, you know, for supporting us as well. And, you know, hey, I'm here when you want me.
All right, brother. Hey, take it easy. I can't wait to see you again when I go up to L.A., brother.
All right. See you when you get here. Take care, guys.
You too.
Well, we're going to take a real, real quick break because we also have another guest that's going to be coming on right now in about a minute. Real, real fast. And he's going to chop it up with us a little bit about what's going on. And he had a fight last night. So, you know, let's take a quick break. This is Leaving in the Ring. And if you're missing, if you're just tuning in, we had Henry Ramirez, we had Paul the Punisher Williams, his manager Peterson, and Alex Ariza from the Manny Pacquiao camp. And now we got a special guest, another exclusive special guest coming through. But this is what I got to say. If you're gone tomorrow, don't trip, because you catch it on demand on Leaving the Ring and on iTunes.
Got one way of life. Live. If not, flat line.
Gone tomorrow.
Here
today is gone tomorrow. Gone tomorrow.
Nah, nigga.
Here today
and you're
gone tomorrow. Gone tomorrow.
And what the man say? Breathe, nigga. I was told to shoot out, lay low, keep firing, keep extra clips for extra shit. Who's next to flip on the cap from the veil? Call slap, more shady, Brownville, baby, baby. Dub is O, it's MCK, you faggots. Bimmer with a semi, and you too mad at Cal Cole 45. Endorsing with my Billy D, nigga.
And he ain't talking about my liquor, it's me, the big homie.
You was trained to detect fake shit.
That's snake shit.
Fuck it, I resist a trap.
True that.
I'm in the streets, I know how the score's looking. Rough brothers, the illest game in the stadium of Brooklyn. And this here thing, I hold in my hand, make the trigger, nigga, the motherfucking man. Cause you could be
here today, it's gone tomorrow.
Damn, I was just with him. Somebody hit him.
It's gone tomorrow.
Look at him, cop my top, hit him. He's cold.
Here today, it's gone tomorrow.
Yo, yo, we're back. I'm gonna cut that real quick, man. I know some of you guys are probably vibing to that. But we got Frankie Gato Figueroa on the line. Gato, you on the line, brother?
Yes, sir.
Yo, so you fought Rashad Holloway. Was it to a draw? Man, what do you think about that? I saw you had a good fight there. You were muscling your way in. It seemed that Rashad was a little hesitant of what he was doing. He didn't fight tall. He didn't use his height against you. But what was mostly – but before I even say that, yo, man, was the referee against you or was he not against you in that fight?
I'm sorry, say the last part again.
The ref, was he against you?
Oh, you know what, man, let me tell you before the story starts, man. This was an 8-rounder. I mean, I don't know if everybody thinks it was a 10, but it was an 8-rounder fight. And then we're in the back room, and all of a sudden, I guess the fight before us went the distance. So this one, we got to do a 6-rounder. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to pick it up now. Not only that, but I was thinking about, you know, this guy's a good amateur. He's going to probably OD on the speed or the punch, just punching points. I'm like, whatever. So I get out there, and I'm like, okay, I got to throw more punches. I know I'm bigger than most fighters in this damn planet. I just throw a lot of punches. That's just my pet peeve. And we get in the ring, and the bell starts. And he's hesitant. He's very hesitant on throwing punches. So I put the pressure on him. And I just kept putting pressure, and I know I'm a southpaw, he's taller, I'm smaller. But, yo, he was holding a whole damn lot. I mean, the referee kept saying, break, 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 and he hit me one time in the head or on the side of my head. And I thought, oh, come on, ref, what's going on here? This dude is holding me every freaking time he comes. Every time I come in or he comes in and misses and he's near me, he'll hold me. And I said, come on. I'm telling the ref, come on, come on. I mean, whatever, but I don't know if the ref is on my side or his side. I don't even think about that, to be honest. I don't even think about that. I just want to fight.
But, I mean, you were, like, completely respectful. I mean, after the fight, you were respectful to Rashad Holloway, but yeah, I really didn't see you kind of, I don't know, man. I mean, I would have been pissed if the ref, because the ref was warning you for Honey, when really, honestly, I watched the whole fight, okay, because I was pumped up about the fight. And really, I was a little disappointed in how much Rashad was kind of holding you for a minute and how the ref was really blaming you for it, but I really didn't see you retaliate against that.
Yeah, I it's funny, somebody on Facebook was like, yo, what kind of cologne are you wearing? I was like, cologne? I said, yeah, because every time he came in, he's like, he wants to smell you, and I was laughing, you know, because he was just OD holding me. I'm like, come on, ref, I want to fight. Every time I want to get on the inside, he wants to hold me and push me, because I know he said, I was rough house. He was trying to push me. He was putting his body weight against the ropes. I mean, but I was putting the pressure on him. I was slipping it. I threw him a lot more punches. I landed the cleaner shots. I dictated the fight. I put the pressure on him, and I just don't know how it was a draw.
I'm going to go back real quick, okay? Impressed with Rashad Holloway? Were you impressed by him? This man's been with Manny Pacquiao. This dude's been in there with Antonio Margarito. Impressed by this cat and what his performance was, and the this guy was anticipated. Well, I was impressed by him. I've seen this guy spar. And being in there in the ring, were you impressed by him?
No, I wasn't. No, I mean, he's a really good dude. I mean, to go back to what you're saying, sparring partner. Listen, I'm a sparring partner, but I'm not a sparring partner. I'm a fighter, and I don't know if I see Holloway. Even though he could spar whoever, you know, anybody could spar whoever. It's how you do against them is what you base your credentials on. And I base my credentials on being a Sugar Samuel. He did a video for me. Ricky Hatton also, not the video, but he went on TV saying I'm one of the best bomb partners he has. I've had guys I have world champions who stepped on the line and say, yo, Gato's good. Even Martin Roberto's another one. Gato's good. Gato just worked. You know, nobody said nothing about Rashad Holloway when we first talked about he's spawning this guy, spawning that guy. Anybody think nothing about him. It was just more about, there was no way people knowing that he spawned him, but it wasn't like the world champions came out and talked about him like they did with me. And when they said he was spawning Margarito and Pacquiao, I was like, yeah, but he was spawning him, but he wasn't really giving him business like I was doing with my spawn partners. You know, so it was kind of irrelevant that he sparred whoever, because at the end of the day, I was, in my camp, I do what I do, and I give my...
But you know what, but Gato, out of all respect, though, I mean, the fight looked like a sparring session, right? I mean, the holding, nobody really mixing it up. You couldn't tee off. He couldn't tee off.
Right. Right.
I mean...
Tee off. He wouldn't let me tee off. And like you said, he wouldn't let me fight. As soon as I get inside, he wants to hold me. If I trap to the corner, you know, back up the ropes, I throw like 1-2 combinations and back to holding again. I'm like, when you gonna give up warning or something? When you gonna stop saying, stop with the holding, stop with the holding, both of you guys, stop with the holding, stop with the holding. Get my point. Somebody's gonna stop holding.
Well, let me ask you this though, man. I mean, being a veteran and having a corner that's knowledgeable, I mean, you got skills. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Gato's got skills. You know what I'm saying? You know, seeing after the third, fourth round, and you're tying up with this dude, Rashad Holloway, which he's a good friend of mine. I mean, I know the dude. I've interviewed the guy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got to take nothing away from him. But why didn't you figure, listen, I'm moving in. I'm being a stalker. Why not play back? Catch him with something that he's not looking for.
Because I didn't want to get to the judges. I was pressing the issue, and I still got a draw, and I threw more, and I landed more. Now, it wasn't, I'm not saying I was landing every single shot, but I was landing more, and I threw more, and I even dictated the fight. As a short guy, moving up in class, and he's just doing middleweight, I was still dictating the fight, and it was still a draw. Now, God forbid I was boxing. Thousand-Bells Boxing. Because when you box, you know, the action is not as potent as when somebody is coming forward. And if I was boxing, it would have been a problem. Because Rashad is not his punch count is not up there. So the fight would have been boring. I would have been boxing, throwing punches in the air, waiting for him to come through. He probably wouldn't have come through because he knew over counter him. It would have been boring. It would have been boring as hell. And I would have lost.
Now, I'm going to say this real quick, you know, and go ahead and answer me real fast and stuff, because I got some other questions. We're going to roll out of that. But I still have some other, you know, fight fans, you know how fight fans are. Fight fans right away, you know what I'm saying? They could be cruel and crucial, right? Some fight fans are saying you gave it to Rashad Holloway. You could have took it, but you gave it to him. What do you think about that, man? Did you give it to him? I mean, you went to his backyard. But in my opinion, I understand what you were coming from. You went at him. You didn't want to box him because you don't want to leave in the hands of judges. Who wants to leave in the hands of judges? But being the man that you are, being in the ring, being in the scenario you are, what is it that fight fans just don't get?
He's 6 feet tall. It was very difficult to fight a guy that tall. And if I fake the jab, he's already jumping on the other side of the ring. So I think I have to pump the jab like 9 times before I can get to him to throw my combo. So that was one of the toughest things to do, is to fight a guy who doesn't want to commit to a fight. Is it kind of like in a survival mode, so to speak? Not saying he was surviving, but it was more like he was boxing more. I had to come in more, and then when I get close, he's holding me. So that's like very difficult to fight anybody who's like that. Like if I was to fight Cotto or Pacquiao, you know. They're gonna try to attack me as I'm coming in. He was more on the outbound, you know, something that's very difficult for any fighter to fight. Anybody who fought Camacho or guys like that, that's pretty tough. The guys that kind of like on their bike. And it was very tough. And as fast as I am and as accurate I am, it was pretty tough. And to grab somebody who holds every single, almost every time, that's tough. That's very tough. It's not easy. And that ring is another realm. But in that realm, it doesn't matter because I am the boxer and that's my job and I have to figure them out. But it's tough. And in 6 rounds, man, you know how tough that is? You just go in there and throw punches like the amateurs.
Where are you going to be at?
If it would say it was 8 rounds, he would have been hurt. I was rocking him. 8 rounds, I was rocking him. Well, I was rocking him.
I've seen you catching him. But I did see there's just a lot of tying up. The dude did not engage, you know. But I would have loved to see you change the game plan a little bit, seeing that you were able to catch him when he was coming through. So that told me your corner should have told you, you know what, hang back for just a minute. But let me get away from that for a minute. Where are you going to be at for the Cotto and Manny Pacquiao fight? You going down to Vegas to watch it, or are you hanging tight over there?
No. I'm watching from home. The only guy I'm watching right now, and I'm hoping for something to happen, for very big things to happen to him, is Sugar Shane Mosley. That's probably the only guy that I'm really into that I think that's, you know, for me, is a pound-for-pound champion without getting the opportunities yet. But I honestly think that, you know, it's just an opinion, not a fact. You know, he might be attacking me. But I think it's just an opinion. I sparred Sugar Shane, and that dude's a beast, man. I mean, him versus Pacquiao, him versus Floyd, is going to be a phenomenal thing that people would die to see. I mean, that is by far probably one of the best fights would be now. Cotto Pacquiao is good, but Sugar Shane or Pacquiao, Sugar Shane and Floyd, it's incredible. So I usually follow Sugar Shane.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you this. We got immediately after, an hour after the fight, we're going to broadcast live because you know how hardcore fight fans, when emotionally everything's running deep and hard, whatever the outcome is, everybody wants to talk about it, man. You're absolutely invited to come through, chop it up with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Before I let you go, we got like six more minutes. The last time we spoke to you was exclusive. It was right after the Miguel Cotto camp let you go. You know, and you were being a gentleman. But now that you got Miguel Cotto not doing what he's got to, you know what I'm saying? He's not honoring the gentleman chic. I mean, what's up with that? I mean, I know you've been vocal about it, but I just haven't heard it from the horse's mouth. What you got to say about that?
Yeah, now? Yeah. Well, you know, it's past tense, but, you know, since you brought it up, I'll bring it up again as well. It's a fluke. You know what I mean? Everybody saw me fight yesterday, and I come forward, man. I come forward throwing mad, a lot of punches. I even bounced a lot. I was trying my best to rock Rashid. Besides the holding, you know, if Rashid was holding, you can guarantee I was throwing punches the same way I was doing with Cotto. So don't give me that bull crap that I wasn't serious and I wasn't joking around. And get out of here with that, man. And that pissed me off. And I'm glad that Cotto came out of his shell. But he came out the wrong way, you understand what I'm saying? But whatever, he comes out the wrong way, I come out the wrong way. I don't care if you're world champion or not, man. You respect me as a human being. Like I would with you. And everybody knows that. God was a cool dude, just don't respect me, and I will respect you. That's everybody's game plan, whether you're a boxer or not. And, you know, I'm kind of pissed that he sent me home from camp because financial reasons. Now, I'm kind of happy I went home because I was able to spar guys for my fight. You know, Cotto was nowhere near Rashad Holloway in the sense of power or like that, but Cotto was not backing up as much as Rashad or holding me as much as Rashad. You know, I was able to let off on Miguel Cotto, and he was able to let off on me as well. So I was sparring guys here in New York, 6 feet, 6'2", but the guys I was sparring was not holding me as well. So it kind of did good for me to come out of camp because I was able to train for my fight rather than train Cotto for his fight, and I had nothing, no, 6 feet tall is not what Cotto is. But, yeah, he tried to play me, and, you know, I was like, no, he ain't playing me, bro. I don't care where you from and who we are. You know they're human beings. So I had to get him back. And then, you know, he had a fight coming up on the 14th with Pacquiao, wish him luck. And, you know, just because he sent me home doesn't mean he's going to lose. I'm just saying I would have given him a better percent rate of winning. That's all.
Well, obviously, you showed him, man. I mean, there's that old saying, there's always one way or another to skin a cat. And you just showed him you ain't skinning this cat, right?
Nah, man. I mean, come on. Everybody says I'm cocky, confident, whatever. If I'm cocky, consider that confident because without that, listen, I just wrote a note on Facebook, and I'm going to say real quick here. I know you got 6 minutes. Before I got in the ring with Rashad Holloway, I was like, when we got to the plane, because, you know, it was a military the airbase. When we got to the plane and Rashid was jumping in up and down, I was like, man, I hope I don't get knocked out like Randall Bailey did to me, man. And this is lies in the fight, you know what I mean?
Right.
I said, man, I hope I won't get knocked out with Randall Bailey. If I do, man, my career's over. I'm done. I was telling myself, I'm getting knocked out for the second time. I'm done. I have a career. I have my family. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, damn. But you know what? I never got stunned by Cotto or Berto when I sparred after the Randall Bailey fight. So, and I never got stunned. But then I said to myself, in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, but you were wearing 16-ounce gloves or 18-ounce gloves with headgear. So, of course, you're not getting stunned. So, now they call me, Gato, we got to come in. I'm like, you know what? That's that, man. I'm good, man. Ain't going to bother me. Can't stop, won't stop. This is Team Gato, baby, and I can't feel in front of my fans. My fans didn't try to feel in front of me. So, I got in there, and I think I did a phenomenal job. I fought a guy who was like almost junior weight. We fought 8-ounce gloves. He was a pound overweight, and I did very damn well. So, I come over with obstacles. When I preach it, it's because I'm doing it. I don't say because whatever. I do it.
How does a fight fan, man, get a hold of you to support? Won't stop, can't stop, Gato.
Team Gato, baby, not saying, but movement. It's simple, man. I got a couple of, you know, I'm a social networking king. I talk to all my fans. So they can hit me up on Facebook, which is a big medium for social networking right now. So it's Team Gato. I mean, I'm sorry, it's facebook.com/Team Gato. Right now I'm big on Twitter, so it's twitter.com/Team Gato 140 being my weight class. And my email, which is straight to my BlackBerry, is gato@teamgato.com. So once again, it's facebook.com/Team Gato. Twitter is twitter.com/Team Gato 140. And then my BlackBerry, which is my email, is gato@teamgato.com. Actually, any questions about nutrition, weight, any problems you have, man, I just love teaching, man. That's what I do. Can't stop, won't stop. Oh, YouTube, Team Gato, baby. YouTube.com/Team Gato.
Well, man, you know, man, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, you a cool-ass cat. You a cool-ass cat, brother. You know what I'm saying? Hermano, you, I mean,
hermano.
I just got to give it to you, brother, because right now, I'm gonna say, I gotta say this real quick, guys. I mean, I know you got some haters out there. You know, oh, you got to this, got to that, whatever. You can say all you want about my man, okay? But I'm gonna tell you now. Well, we're on the show. I'm streaming through the internet, and I'm on Facebook, and my man's on there. I hit him up. He told me right now, nah, I'm busy. He was like, yeah. What's up? I'll get on right now. That's what kind of a person.
Yeah, he was like, yo, can you on the show in 5 minutes? I was like, yes, I guess I can. Yes, let's do it.
yeah, no problem. Let's do it.
No problem.
Can't stop, won't stop.
That's it. Can't sound, won't stop. I'm up in this mix. Leaving in the rear, we got Gato right now. Talking about Rashad Holloway. Gato, real quick, man. We got 48 seconds. Real quick. Rashad Holloway, if I get him on air, he's a good friend of mine. Is there a possible rematch? And would you get on air at the same time with him to call him out for a rematch? Rematch? No way. I don't do rematches in this level of competition because it doesn't prove anything for neither I nor him. We don't make no money. We didn't make money for his fight. It's not creating a buzz. So no, I would not do a rematch with Rashad Holloway because there's no money, and I did it for me to come back into the program, show the world that I'm still here. I got a good chin, I got good speed. I proved it. It's over. It was a great fight. He's a good friend of mine. It's over. Done with. Move on to the next level. Rashad's gonna do the same. And that's the bottom line. I don't do it for – the first time was good. Second time has to be for business.
I heard that, brother. Okay, man.
Right.
We have a good one.
Right, about business, baby. You too, baby. Thanks a lot, baby. Team Gato can't stop, won't stop. Not a saying, but a boop, man.
There you go. There you go.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, baby. Take it easy, y'all.
Well, there you go, brothers. I know we're off right now. It's live streaming. Blood, Chris, David Chen, 916. Oh, I already said it. Strikeheart, my man, Rob Riddler, everybody that's in the Leaving the Ring family, good night, and I'll see you Friday night.
Peace.
Take care, everybody.
Peace.
Leaving in the Ring.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, David Chen.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing, not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most recent. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao, selling out.
Leaving in the ring.
Okay, but everybody right now, be in.